The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Drive
me! Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. Another off-season edition. We'll be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots and everything else in the NFL world and perhaps beyond. Right off the bat, Ron Brace signed with the Redskins.
Yes.
Paul's guy, Jeff Howe, reporting.
Okay.
I believe he was
actually
the
Redskins were the first
to
report it.
The Redskins tweeted out. Oh. Well, they seem like a good source.
The first person I heard report it was Jeff Howe. So, anyway.
Good news is it's right this time because the Redskins reported it too.
Right. So Ron Brace had been released. So obviously he was available to be signed by any team.
Yeah.
And
he's have a little less words with friends time now.
The Redskins signed him, so he is now gone. Don't have to worry about him coming back and going and coming
back. I wasn't really worried about him coming back.
Well, no, I don't know about worried, but it happens a lot with Patriots and other teams.
Yeah, but not really with that kind of guy. Usually when the second-round pick bust is cut, he's done.
He's done.
He's out.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the seventh-round pick guy who's kind of on and off.
So it's, you know, all that talk about in Boston College, well, you know, B.J. Raji's the guy that's getting all the headlines, but Ron Brace is the one that, you know, no.
I wasn't buying it from the get-go.
Yeah,
the only person that bought that was the Patriots.
I remember watching his college tape and thinking, this guy is big and slow. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And there are some people from his hometown, I'll say, think he's just a lazy.
Really?
That there's nothing there.
Yeah.
He's never gotten it, not a hard worker, just kind of.
Oh, that's too bad. Another waste of a second-round pick. All right, web radio at Patriots.
All right, moving on. We don't need to talk about that any longer.
Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. And
Valentine's Day, Freddie.
It is Valentine's Day.
You got your heart on?
I hope you guys...
you just let that one go completely.
Made sure that... you're all taken care of.
Somebody up in our office, somebody was complaining to them that they weren't wearing any red. And she said, no, look, I got a heart on. And I go, what?
Heart.
She goes, heart on. Yeah, I took care of my lady.
Did you?
Somehow I got scammed. I listened to one of those stupid radio commercials.
A couple of our emailers said they did, too.
I don't care for that.
You mean catfish scams?
no, but I did one of those stupid. You know how you hear the radio, you know, Pro Flowers, you know, $29.99.
Yeah, right. They come in a box.
Yeah, but somehow it ended up $85.99.
Oh, mine was $68.
Like, how do we get from here to here?
I mean, what did happen?
I don't know.
Add-ons and
shipping. Well, you know, it's too late. So if you want it to actually come on Valentine's Day, I think there was like an extra $15 something. I don't know. I really don't know what happened, but I think it. No, maybe it was $39.99. It ended up $80-something.
Yeah.
I don't know where.
More
it went.
Than double. That's ridiculous.
It really is.
That's false advertising.
You know, that's what the ladies like.
Yeah. It was.
Do they like flowers? I mean, really?
No, they don't like flowers. They like when they get something delivered to their office.
The gesture.
They're like they're like the focal point of
right. Right.
Yeah, I blame it all on Fred because I wasn't planning on doing anything because normally we don't, Beth and I. But Fred was like, ugh. Oh, I gotta figure out. I gotta get to
why, something
for Valentine's
do?
Day earlier in the week.
What'd you
he
do?
Guilted me into it.
I got like a there's this website that, like, arts and crafts where you can, like, take classes in different things. And I gave her a gift certificate to choose which one she wants. She likes that kind of stuff.
I know. She has her little trends.
Yeah.
The alpaca fur.
So. So yeah, so I'm all set.
Anybody try the Sherry's Berries?
Is no, advertising, but that's getting a lot of
it's everywhere.
Well, yeah. I get those emails all the time. I get junk emails from
yes, yeah. all the time.
But I don't know anybody who's actually bought them.
You get them too, Flash?
I don't know how I got on that list, though.
Yeah,
well, they've been everywhere. Radio,
I've
TV.
Never gotten them. I don't
by
know
By the way,
I
Pepe's back in the booth.
Yes. Yeah. He's running, too, by the way.
The marathon?
No, a 5K, but I inspired him. He's going to run.
Fat guy marathon, a 5K.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I need to thank all our
listeners.
More than
I could run.
Our listeners are coming through in the fundraising efforts, and I appreciate it. I have a few more. I also want to tell them that if they go to our Facebook page, anybody who donates more than $30 has got a chance to win a Wes Welker autographed mini helmet.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, because we do this through the Charitable Foundation.
Right, right.
They give us something to incent.
Yep.
So people. I did that. So am I eligible?
I don't know. You want me to throw your name in the hat?
No.
Okay.
You want a Welker mini helmet?
No.
But yeah,
a
so
nice little player.
If people go to the website or it's on my
Should
Twitter,
wear a nice little helmet
for my fundraising page. But I want to thank Jonathan Hart on Valentine's Day.
Any relation?
No. Paul Hungerford.
That's Paulie our guy, in LA. Paulie. Yeah.
I don't know how to say his last name. The Visa guy.
Hungerford.
Not that hard. Hunger and
Paul
four.
Darville, Norman Jameson, all contributed in the last couple
nice.
Of days. I want to thank our listeners. And if you're interested, I'm running for the Patriots Charitable Foundation and the Meyercraft MVP Awards, Community MVP Awards, and you can go to the Facebook page or my Twitter, at Jumbo Hart, and I'd be happy to accept your donation.
That's great. All right.
PFW family.
Glad we
could
provide a forum for you to
It is the company that I'm raising. I mean, it's the Patriots Charitable Foundation. It's not like the Andy Hart Fund.
Sure.
The Human Fund.
It's the Human Fund.
I should start the Matt LePan Fund for my 5K I'm doing.
There you go.
Need to pay for my funeral once I die when I finish.
All right, so
you
what else we got?
To anybody else?
Ron Brace signed with the Redskins. Really no other Patriots.
Well, Rob Gronkowski didn't apologize while apologizing.
Right, he wore a tank top.
Mm-hmm. Sorry for partying, like a fluorescent green.
A fluorescent green thing.
That got out on Twitter. Yeah. Because
now, they have those. He didn't make that for himself, did he?
They have everything. You can get a shirt that says anything.
I mean,
so, but I didn't care for it.
No,
you didn't like it?
I think
he's going down the road of DB.
You have really become the Puritan of this show.
No, just... It's not honest. He's mocking. It's a mocking apology. He's not really sorry.
He extended two giant middle fingers to anybody who was criticizing him.
But
that's what he did.
But there are those that
kind of like that high school
say
goalie.
He shouldn't apologize.
Only he literally did.
I just watched
he didn't
the video.
Do anything wrong.
Well, they're wrong.
I like this.
Everybody, they're wrong. Body slamming a guy with a broken arm on stage, you crossed a line. Don't tell me you didn't.
Mm.
I'm not lumping it all together, the summer of Gronk and all the previous things. He did one thing wrong in my eyes, and then he compounded it by a fake apology.
So he did two things wrong.
Right. Now he's done two things. But I think he's going down the road of Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
You're not really sorry. You're apologizing, but you're mocking the system, and you really think you're in the right and everybody else is in the wrong.
Now, hopefully Gronk doesn't go on a Torpedo of Truth tour.
No, and hopefully he doesn't have tiger blood and bank
winning.
Well, prostitutes is similar. Or the, not prostitutes,
yes.
Porn stars, you know.
Same difference.
Yeah, they get paid to have sex.
So you're really worked up on this.
I just think he's going in the wrong direction. Instead of taking this and saying it was one thing and I'm going to learn from it and, you know, Brady called me and I realize now I shouldn't have done it,
mm-hmm.
He's mocking it. He's taking that next step. He's compounding the mistake
Very
with another mistake.
Very unpatriot-like
yeah,
in his reaction.
Yeah, I don't care for it.
Shouldn't have done it.
Although Logan Mankins doesn't care. That he's
right.
just a meathead, as long as he doesn't break any laws.
Just a big meathead who likes to party
right.
and play football.
Right, so if he doesn't care and he's the captain of the team, why are you so upset?
I don't know if he doesn't really care. B, I don't know if he's even really thought about it. Because I would care if I were him. If the difference between me winning and losing a Super Bowl is Rob Gronkowski being healthy or not healthy because he's doing something stupid, I would care. I think he's just falling back on the generalization of I don't care if he parties. And I agree with that fact. But I do care if he's risking his health.
Yeah,
absolutely. Do you think Bill Belichick cares?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
very much.
Isn't that really the only thing that matters?
Yeah.
I think he cares about it all.
No, the only thing that matters is getting Rob Gronkowski to care.
No, I'm talking.
That's what matters.
No, what I'm saying is the fact that Logan Mankins said he's a big meathead who just likes to party and play football is not all that. But I know that Bill Belichick doesn't feel that way. Bill Belichick says, yeah, I understand that he likes to party, but he needs to do this to be at his best.
Well, I think I find interesting that we talked about this the other day. Guys like McGinnis, Brewski, who were part of Super Bowl winning teams, have come out and said unequivocally, if this were my teammate, I would have words with him. I would sit him down. I would tell him, this is wrong. This is what you need to do. There are no types of leaders like that on this current Patriots team. But they're all lead by example types. Yeah. And they've all said so. Matthew Slater's a captain. He's a lead by example guy. Tom Brady doesn't even go off for the coin toss, so he can't even lead by example in that regard.
Mayo
has said,
and I'm the negative one on Brady. He's criticizing that he doesn't go out to the coin toss
when he is warming up.
Mayo has said he's a lead by example guy. Wilfork in the past has said he's a lead by example and has tried to sort of become that. And ever since they've had lead by example guys, they've not won Super Bowls.
The example hasn't been great.
The example has not been great. And call it a coincidence, call it what you want, but all I'm saying is there's a correlation there.
Example is good, not great.
The example is we might get to the playoffs and win a couple games, but the example is not championship.
But yeah, they don't have guys, they don't have that attitude, and it goes to on the field too. People saying we need a safety like a Rodney Harrison. Well, Rodney was a guy who would get in your face if you were doing something that he thought was untoward or against the Patriot way.
Right.
They don't have those kind of guys anymore.
Tone
they have
setters.
Guys like Mankins who say, hey, yeah, whatever, that's just what he does. Too bad. He's Gronk.
And I do think Mankins is... you know how much I like Mankins.
We love Logan.
He is not a great captain to me because he is such an example guy. I don't think that.
He's a great captain if you have Rodney Harrison.
If you have others, right?
Well, yeah,
you can't rely on all the same guys, and that's why I agree with Eric.
I agree.
Think they
Eric's
lack
point,
the a-holes.
I think Eric's point is really
good.
You
throw a Vrabel and a McGinnis in there, and that makes the others fine.
Yes,
I think it's okay to have a guy if you have others, but I don't really think Mankins is a captain type. I don't like the silent captain, you know, as the lead by example guy. I think a captain needs to exert himself when necessary, and not even, you know, it's not okay if he doesn't if everybody else does.
I think
you're a captain, that's part of your job.
I think you're right.
I think there are different.
Different types of players.
Not different types of captains.
Bring it all on me, but my son is now a captain of his sports team, and they have like winter practices, and the other co-captain didn't show up Sunday night. I said to him,
"That's not good.
You need to tell him that you're pissed at him."
Yeah,
that's not
right.
It's
a bad example.
You know,
like Paul said, is Bill Belichick mad? And we all think he is. It's one thing for an authority figure to be mad, like the goalie. You know, we were talking about on the way in, the high school hockey goalie.
I watched it.
If an authority figure is mad at you,
5 minutes.
And you feel justified in what you're doing, and you have the support of your peers.
Circle the wagon, guys.
You feel more empowered to say, I'm in the right, and I'm going to flip off the authority figure. Now, if the authority figure is mad at you, and your peers are coming to you and saying, hey, authority figure's got a point here. You need to knock it off. You're less likely. Most people are less likely to flip off everybody in that instance.
That's what Parcells said. He would always have to have his guys that were the circle of the wagon guys that when I need that message to get out, these are the guys that back me up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that's what the captains are. That's why
they weren't
the
best players. They were rarely the best players. They were maybe, I'm trying to think
veteran types
guys,
who were,
yeah,
you know, role players or whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the guys.
When he was here?
Jim Burt
in New York. There's a lot of different
guys.
And
here the guys weren't the best players, but I'm trying to think.
Guys like Keith Byers, Dave Meggett, they weren't the best players in the team, but they were good, Parcells kind of guys.
Yeah. His type of guys.
Do you remember when he brought, like, Mike Jones?
Right.
Defensive line. Yeah. It was like an Anthony Pleasant type.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that Belichick would bring in. You know, guys that did things the way, but I don't necessarily think that's your captain. You want good guys like that on your team that do, you know, the things that you want them to do, and they show by example, but I don't think Anthony Pleasant is the captain.
No, but he's your guy that backs you up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He does things the way that Belichick wants them done, and other people see that.
And so my assumption is that none of Gronk's peers on the team have had any sort of discussion with him, or else he wouldn't have worn the flip the middle finger shirt the other day.
Well, they're not together right now, but, you know,
well, you have these things called cell phones, and, you know.
They do have phones. You don't think that it would have been dealt with rather quickly? I mean, Brewski was mad on the TV. You don't think he would have picked up a cell phone if he was actually...
I mean, okay, let's think about it.
Nip it in the bud.
Other than Belichick himself.
Especially now, you just send a text.
What do you think on this team?
WTF, question mark.
Yeah.
I mean, the only person I can think of that would have kind of the chops to call Gronkowski would be Brady, other than Belichick, right?
Well, I think Wilfork, Mankin,
any of the captains,
any of the Pro Bowl
captains.
It
should be a lot
more. From the offensive side?
I don't think
No. You remember this team. We're
Mayo.
A team.
There should be a lot of guys.
You don't think if Rodney was still on this team and, like, right. Ocho, like, let's say Ocho were...
Brewski flat out said that he would be talking
And I was going
to
say, like, yeah. We didn't list anybody on offense. It's
right,
Vrabel, right. McGinnis, yeah. Harrison, Brewski. Those are the guys that would be doing it, and they play defense.
Yeah.
And didn't Brewski flat out say, I'd be having a talk with
God,
him?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He flat out used that. That was the word, right? I mean, he's a defensive player. Listen, it's just one of those things to keep an eye on. As you know, we've sort of talked about this in the abstract, because you don't know how it's going to unfold, but will he be as great as he should be? Because we know that he has talent that's surpassing anybody else at that position. He has a chance to be the all-time great at that position. And I don't think that's hyperbole. I think he has a chance to be Tony Gonzalez. I think he has a chance to be the greatest tight end of all time. Will he fulfill that potential? Or will stuff like this sort of limit him in some ways?
Right.
And I'm not talking about injuries. I'm talking about the behavior.
Right.
Because at some point, it catches up to everybody. There's things that you can do when you're 22 that you can't do when you're 28.
Right. Didn't catch up to Jordan, though.
But I keep
using him as the example of, could he have been better? I don't know if he could have been better. I mean, maybe you could argue he would have been.
There's a lot of guys.
Maybe he would have fallen off the map because that was part of his.
But, you know,
there's a lot of guys like that. You don't know.
There is. And we talked about it the other day. Some of these guys that are that good, you know, not in terms of intelligence, but in terms of their abilities, are geniuses in their sport or whatever there it is. Part of what comes with that is that other thing, that urge to do this, be on the edge. And, you know, Gronkowski might say, you know what? It's not worth doing all this if I can't party and have girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't be as interested as in being, you know, great at my sport if I couldn't have all the accoutrements that come
well
with
done,
it.
Fred.
Yes. It's a fair argument.
Thank you, Eric.
Let's be honest. He doesn't want to be Gerard Mayo. He doesn't want to go home and sit and
play
do nothing
games,
and play video games. He wants to enjoy his lot in life.
I had a guy... this guy that I grew up with, we call him Crazy Joe, and
Davola.
He was crazy.
Well, kind of like that, but he was a real good golfer, and he wanted to like become a pro. But the reason he wanted to become a pro was to get girls. And I'm like, that's probably not the right motive. You know, that might be a byproduct.
Worked for Tiger Woods.
Well, yeah.
Well, but it was a byproduct. I think he wanted to be the greatest golfer ever.
Right.
And
right.
then he realized, oh.
When you're the greatest golfer ever, you can bang chicks in the parking lot.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Also, that Blade Runner guy. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
He's being accused of shooting his
Blade
wife.
Blade Runner. Yeah. Girlfriend.
Oh, girlfriend.
Yeah. Model girlfriend.
Yeah, model girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
He was not a model boyfriend.
No.
He shot.
That's not model behavior anyway.
No. So.
Do you know they have the second highest murder rate in the world?
New Orleans?
South Africa?
Is that right?
Only behind Colombia. And Colombia, it's because it's, you know, drug cartels.
You missed my little shot. What? New Orleans?
Now, why is that, do you think?
I don't know. Because they got whack jobs like him popping people.
Huh.
I have no idea.
Scary story.
Wow.
Now,
here's
the
murder day.
Initially, they were saying that he was like trying to come up with some story, that it was a Valentine's thing gone bad, that she was sort of planning some secret intrusion kind of thing, and he mistook her for a burglar.
Yeah, I don't think he's got a leg to stand on.
I told you not to do it.
I had to give you a way to get it out.
But did you see, like, even the Nike campaign they had that he's it's a picture of him, and it's I'm a loaded bullet, or I'm a bullet in the chamber ready to go off or something like
that's,
that.
That's not good.
Yeah, let's
that's
pull
probably,
that one.
That's probably going to be a good chip for the
the prosecution.
But I guess he does have a history of, like, he tweets photos of, I went 96% at the firing range today. He's like a very good shot and has guns. And
so does that work for him or against him?
What do you mean?
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, I was scared. I'm a good shot. What do you want me to do? It's like, you know, Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. I'm a good shot. What do you mean? You know,
well,
what
he
want
certainly
me to do?
Can. He can't say
you
that.
Dig a hole like I never dug a hole before.
He can't use the, you know, I was cleaning my gun defense and it just went off. And
four times.
Yeah. The Bryce Brent's defense?
Yeah.
I shot her four times.
Four times.
That seems a little much if you're trying to claim it's an accident.
Yeah, he snapped.
I also think it's a little much for that.
For snapping?
A little much for that? What do you mean?
Snapping. For snapping?
Four times?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I snapped the first one. Didn't I say, what the F, after one or two?
Well, depending on the gun, if it's a semi-automatic, you can get four bullets off in less than, you know, a second.
Just so. Crazy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well,
another whack job. Probably was on steroids.
Probably.
It all gets back to steroids.
It could be. All right, let's get to some emails, shall we? Get right into it.
We shall.
It's early, huh?
Now, do you still want Johnny Knox?
He's reading emails.
No, I guess he's...
After he retired to avoid paralysis.
Right. You cut ties with Johnny Knox?
Yeah. Andy keeps saying, you know, he's Fred's favorite.
You kept saying the other day, I want Johnny Knox. Anybody want Johnny Knox?
I never said I wanted him. Never. Not once.
But that's the typical Andy argument.
I know. I just mentioned he was out there.
Like
that's
five
all.
Times. We were like receivers, and you're like, how about Johnny
Knox? No one had given their opinion of him yet. I was just trying to get people's opinion.
How about Johnny Knox?
Unbelievable.
You know, you like paralyzed receivers.
I guess our friends at Interesses are buying us lunch again today.
They are fabulous, by the
way.
They
really are.
And they are the best wireless fidelity provider.
It's not just Wi-Fi. It's all networking.
Oh, I mean, networking too.
You want switches.
They give you the best APs everywhere.
You want switches, whatever. And Terraces, you know, they do
and Terraces.
APs,
you know, all the Boston College and UNH and all that. They're pretty big.
And so, Terraces is global.
Yep, they are.
What does Terraces mean? Enter systems?
I don't know.
There's an A in there.
Yeah.
And Terraces.
Entire systems
and Terraces.
Entertainment system.
I don't know.
I'm big on figuring out what names and acronyms.
Their own 49%
by systems.
Junior?
Siemens.
Yeah, that's a big company.
Oh my God, that's just unbelievable.
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, in a word that could mean something
it's
else.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
you really are amazing. So,
if he was in the Navy, he'd walk around all day going, "See a Seaman,
poop deck."
They'd probably give him a Section 8 and kick him out.
What's a Section 8?
I think that's when you're nuts. They kick you out of the Army.
Oh, like, what's his name was trying to get?
Clinger.
Can I mash?
Yeah. Clinger. Corporal Clinger. Yeah. All right.
I haven't seen my Interesis lunch yet.
Well,
I think it's on the other side of the glass.
I'm not going to thank him until I'm eating.
Oh.
What's that big bag that says Red Robin on the other
side
of the glass?
Red Robin.
All right. Interesting email from Mark and Cheddar. He says, there are two topics I'd like your opinion on. He says, Mr. Draft, Mrs. Draft, Grandpa Draft, and the head of the asylum. One, is Tom Brady a great leader? And that ties into what we were just talking about.
Don't know.
He says, we already know that Paul hates him and wants to trade him for the most valuable picks in the draft, a pair of six-round picks. But seriously, is Tom Brady a great leader? Tom Brady is a good leader, and you see his fire on the field at times, like in the San Francisco game. But during the entire Ravens playoff game, he looked like he was not interested, and they had already given up. Back in the Super Bowl winning days, the team had great leaders like Bruschi, Harrison, Vrabel, McGinnis. These players fired up everyone and fired Brady up as well. I look at the current team, I don't see anyone who's a great leader. Brady only has the fire some of the time. The four mentioned above had the fire all of the time.
Well, I don't know if that's true. Let's not paint all of them as perfect. But working in concert, I think they were a strong... I mean, Willie McGinnis had his issues.
Oh, yeah.
Willie McGinnis, you know, missed a lot of time. You know, there were questions about his focus and work ethic and... But working together, Willie McGinnis would tell Bethel Johnson to go find your playbook. And on a different occasion, Rodney Harrison would be, you know. So working together, I think, was the strength of that leadership.
Mark wants and wonders if I'm turning into Paul and being too harsh on Brady, or does this make sense?
No, we've questioned on this show Brady's leadership, work ethic for years.
I think Brady's...
Well, I have. Okay, sorry.
Brady's strength to me as a leader is his competitiveness. You know, the way he operates, the way he goes about his business, the way he's the best player in the team in his work ethic on the practice field every day, meetings,
sure,
all the preparation. That's a leader. That's being, but I don't think
he's a form of it.
Yeah. I don't think he's a fiery in your face leader. I agree with Mark from Cheddar.
But that's also just another form.
That's all. Yeah.
Does he lift others? Does he make others better? Yeah. Does he take the guy who's down and out?
I think as a quarterback, you do that.
Maybe.
Well, no, I'm saying.
Did he make Taylor Price better? Did he, Price, when he was down in the dumps about, you know, redshirting and not playing, is he a guy that sees that, goes to him, and is able to cheer him up
and refocus him? Stay ready now. Stay ready. You're going to get your chance.
There's a thousand forms of leadership, and that's why I think when you have a core of five or six captains, you need different ones. You need a Matthew Slater who can be a shoulder to cry on and go talk to him. You need a kick in the ass kind of guy. You need a whatever. That's why I think the best leadership groups are varied. They have different kinds of leaders.
It's chemistry.
They're
all mixed together.
And they all know when it's their turn to step in. And if you're, Eric's right. If you have all that are the same, even if it's a good form of leadership, it's not good enough because it doesn't reach everyone.
All the people underneath you aren't going to be exactly like you.
They're not going to need
the same motivation.
Yeah. And that's where I think they may have an issue.
Mark also says about drugs. I hate the drug policy in the NFL. Firstly, it's useless as the NFLPA will not allow blood testing. But the main issue I have with the system is the length of the bans. If you're caught doping in athletics, you get a 2-year ban for first offense. In the NFL, a 4-week ban. It is not enough of a deterrent to stop people. At the moment, it's worth taking drugs to make the NFL at the small risk of getting caught and having a 4-week ban. If they really want to confront the PED problem, the bans should be much longer. Like, for example, first offense, a 12-month ban, second offense, 24-month ban, and a third offense, a 48-month ban. What are your thoughts?
I think you hit it on the head. If they really wanted to get it out of the sport, there would be harsher penalties.
Right. It's all a matter of will.
But do you want
players
gone for that period of time? Do you want them? It's the motivations.
Yep. All right. Food's here, so rather than listen to us chomp with our mouths full, we'll pay some bills, and we'll come back right after this.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Once again, thanks to Enterasys for providing lunch today from Red Robin.
Yeah, I like how they mix it up a little in Red Robin's a nice mix-in.
You do.
Well done, Enterasys.
Yeah.
Wireless fidelity experts.
All right, so back to the show. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. And we'd be remiss that one of Paul's radio binkies is called it quits yesterday.
No, he didn't.
Glenn Ordway.
The station called it quits for Glenn Ordway.
He announced that it happened
yesterday. Except he's going to be on the air for another 2 days.
So
yeah, that was a shock. Shocker.
Yeah.
Shock, shock.
That was a shocker.
Because, you know, we keep our ears on the Boston radio scene.
You're making my point.
Because they won't admit it, but we are a competition to them.
And it's... And we are trendsetting.
Right.
As you tweeted out this morning.
Yeah.
And it's relative. I mean, Bill Belichick does an interview with Glenn Ordway, or has done an interview with Glenn Ordway once a week for the last however many years, and... You know, the next guy in there might not serve up quite the same softballs for the head coach. So
that's
could
right.
Could be an interesting new dynamic.
Yeah, he might not. You think they'll be softer once?
Right.
You never know. He might come in guns a blazing.
Yeah, and then he'll get the memo, and that'll be that.
That was my line. Did you read the script? That was my line.
Oh.
That's a big shakeup on the landscape here. And I guess they're bringing in some kid from Seattle who
reportedly
actually is from here. Right?
Used to work with, probably was on this very website at some point during Patriot Mondays, Fridays, whatever it was on ESPN Boston.
Yeah, he was a studio hand at 98.5, I think.
Well, it was 890 ESPN.
Oh, 890.
Again.
Okay.
He's just...
And that's just report. We're talking about Mike Salk. This is all reported. EEI has not, I don't believe, officially confirmed or hired him or whatever.
Okay.
But by all accounts, Mike Salk will be taking over the co-hosting duties
with
Mike Hawley.
You're going younger.
Theoretically.
Yeah. I think there is a place for an older audience demographic.
But I just don't understand, like, can a young person not listen to an older person or an older person not listen to a younger person? I don't really get that idea.
Yeah.
That doesn't really make any sense.
Make sense, and I think it's all perception. If you've been there a long time, you're older.
I guess.
You know, but you're talking about the same things.
And it's I could see what, I mean, hasn't Glenn somewhat embraced, Twitter and texting? And it's not like he's saying, I don't even know what Twitter is. I'm never going to deal with it.
Even, to the modern sort of analytical data that's available now, Glenn is sort of, the sabermetrics in baseball. He's been, I'm not saying he's cutting edge or anything. He's an older guy, but I think he's been willing to accept some of these different numbers that come in and, in all sports, in the different metrics. So, yeah, it was an interesting day yesterday, though. And, Fred's right. I think it was 26 years on the big show and like over 35 years, I think, Boston sports radio.
Yep.
It's a long time, long career. He is probably the most successful Boston sports radio personality ever, right?
Well, according to what I was listening to today, he created everything.
Do you remember who
radio,
his first
television.
Co-host was on the radio for sports talk radio?
No.
Interesting trivia question.
Yeah, if you know the actual answer.
I was going to say, do you know?
Janet Prensky. It was a woman.
Is that the Fabulous Sports Babe?
Yeah. No.
That's a different woman.
Janet Prensky.
Because I remember her.
That was Nancy Donnellan. The Fabulous Sports Babe.
Do you remember that, Paul? Janet Prensky,
that
I've said it?
Yep, I do.
Okay. Where is she now? Because I never heard of her.
I don't know.
Dead?
I think she went to Atlanta.
Oh, so she's still alive?
Oh, yeah.
In the business? In the industry?
I don't know if she's still in the business.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
You know what's kind of funny is, like, Glenn got rid of Pete Shepard. Pete Shepard came here. Went back to WEEI. Now Pete Shepard is still at WEEI, and Glenn's out of work.
Yeah,
it's kind of a funny little.
I think we just continue the circle.
Yeah, that's right. Let's bring Glenn Ordway here.
Hey, if he wants to, we'd love to have him.
We'll give him. We'll let him take over the internet radio.
Adam
here.
Jones is
as it happens. We have an opening.
Yeah, we could have Glenn host the pre and post game show,
and we'll give him the old Pete Shepard 4 to 6 homer time slot because he's a super homer.
That'd be awesome. He could have drive time, although on internet radio, I don't know if there is a drive time. But
thought you keep telling me that's going to happen.
It is happening.
IP radio in the car.
It is happening.
IP.
Unbelievable.
It is happening. You've been telling me for like 3 years it's happening, and I haven't seen it happen.
More and more.
Is Pandora considered that? Because I see Honda now includes Pandora in all courts.
Yeah, it's IP-based. It is. Yep.
So can we get on that? Are we on Pandora?
No, we're not. We're on the other directories. Pandora is a music, basically, directory. We're on...
you sing sometimes.
I do. And if that meant we could get on Pandora, I would gladly sing for my supper. Eddie's in Maryland, and he's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eddie.
Thanks for fellas. What's going on?
Nothing. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, yeah. Hey, I got the time. Hey, I wanted your thoughts on something I've been thinking about for the past few years. And I wanted all four of you, one of your thoughts. I think I kind of know where Fred is going to, what his thoughts are on this. But how would you guys grade or how would you rate Bill Belichick compared to the other NFL coaches when it comes to defense?
Best.
when it comes to game plan, strategy, philosophy, what's your take on that? I'm curious to know.
That's a good question, because defense hasn't been very good.
You're just talking about the defense, on the whole?
Defense. Because he's known as a defensive genius. That's where he made his bread and butter, right?
Right.
So I'm curious.
Yep.
I think you got him.
I don't really
got him, Eddie.
Well, it's
well, I can have my thoughts if you guys want to hear me, you know, since I called you guys.
I don't really know in relation to every other coach in the league. I mean, I'm not really sure that I'm equipped to answer that specifically, just how he stacks up with everybody else. I will say, defensively, in terms of game plans, that's what you asked specifically about, Eddie?
Yeah.
I think that he seems to be a little bit unwilling to bend what he wants to do defensively. I think that he kind of gets stuck in his ways. And he's such a game plan guy offensively. Mm-hmm. They can do some dramatically different things from one week to the next. But I don't see a lot of dramatic changes defensively in terms of, you know, some blitzes and exotic schemes. Don't you feel like we see a lot more varied things around the league defensively than you see in New England from week to week?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm not saying that he's never done anything innovative. I remember back, you know, when he had the personnel in the Super Bowl years, you know, the no defensive lineman, the mooing cow and all that stuff. There were some things that he did that were different and outside of the box, but I don't see that often enough. But certainly over the last 5 years.
Do you think that's because he doesn't have what he thinks are?
Yeah, I don't think he. I think
the players who can.
I think in his heyday
can do that.
He didn't do a lot of different
stuff. See, I was told by someone that he might be too game plan oriented because he, you know, whatever on the GM side doesn't have the playmakers that you can just go out there and you know they're going to beat their man. So he's too, you know, on the side of. Every game is different in game plan, in scheme, you know, based on the opponent we're playing. And
so he relies too much on guys who aren't great at any one thing, but good enough at several things,
but
at the expense of having guys who are great.
Possibly.
But how much do you feel like he changes it up now?
Well, I don't think we recognize it, but I think, again, the more football-savvy person would understand the changes that he makes game to game.
Yeah, but we used to recognize it when they were good.
Well, those were big changes. I mean, and it weren't really changes. It was more like, you know, Rodney Harrison all of a sudden lines up at the line, and then you think he's going to play corner.
We saw blitzes. We saw man.
That's a big change.
Zone.
It's a technique within a game, you know. But
I don't
think
he's as versatile as he once was in terms of what he does.
I don't either. And I think that the game has changed a little bit.
And I kind of agree with him because he wins.
Some of the things that he used to be able to do.
No, I know, but I think he looks at it that way. I have Tom Brady. And if I play it basic, I know I'm going to struggle some, but I could struggle a whole hell of a lot more and give up a lot more points.
So you really think that?
I think there's a chance. I don't know. I can't get inside his head. I don't know what he thinks. But I do think he believes in building a defense from the early in the year, and you got to get the basics down before we get more aggressive, and you're not good enough, so we're just going to stick with this. And, you know, it won't be pretty, but Brady will still probably score enough points so that we'll win, and hopefully you'll get back. I don't know. That seems to be the MO of this team, and he makes that decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think he usually goes under the premise that the other team's quarterback, if we make him go 12 plays, we'll make a mistake. And I don't think he can play like that anymore against a lot of teams. Some teams you can. You can do that against Mark Sanchez, and he'll make a mistake. You can do that against Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, fortunately for them, you can do that against their division and get away with it because their quarterbacks will eventually cough it up.
And that gets you 5 to 6 wins a year right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Which gets you halfway to the postseason.
Right. Right.
Halfway to losing in the postseason.
Oh, come on.
Guys, the reason why I brought that up is because I'm sure everybody, just like me, was so excited a few years back, that Tampa Bay preseason game. You guys remember?
We were so excited.
We saw that defense flying. And then they just reverted back to being the, you know, read, react, or whatever he's been doing the past, I don't know how many years. Like, when is he ever going to, change that, or am I just wishing, I guess? You know,
well,
that
I think
gonna...
he's stubborn. And one thing that rings in my head endlessly is that Scott Pioli quote that I got at the Combine a few years ago where people told us this defense was dead in 1990 and then again in 96 and then again into this defense has won a lot of titles after it was supposedly dead. And I think he falls back on that. You know, he's been told a lot that what he's doing doesn't work, but he feels like it's always worked.
And look how long it took him to change from a 3-4 to a 4-3 base.
Yeah.
Took him decades.
Yeah, but
in the lockout.
Yeah. But he didn't have to change. It worked.
The defense didn't work. But
they won Super Bowls with a 3-4
defense. But they were a bad defense for a while.
Yeah.
But they didn't have the personnel to be a 3-4.
But I don't think the whole 4-3-3-4 thing, that's one thing I'm wholeheartedly with Bill on. I don't think it matters a lick. Plenty of teams play defense today with a 3-4, and plenty of teams play with a 4-3.
It's your technique and the type of
I don't think plenty of teams play with a 2-gap 3-4 and win.
No.
I'm not sure any do that.
See, but that's philosophy, not alignment. I'm 100% with Andy now. If you're just going to sit there and like Eddie just said, read and react, you can read and react in a 4-3 too. You're not getting after and that's what I think Eddie's talking about with that Tampa Bay game, Andy, when you and I were giddy and you actually picked Gerard Mayo off of that as your defensive player of the year.
Well, I believe what I said was he might not win it because he's going to split votes with
Andre
Carter.
Right. And listen, I didn't bring that up to make fun of you.
Because it's funny.
But you and I were bouncing off the walls on that preseason game in Tampa Bay.
You dubbed them the best defense in the league right then and there.
I'm not sure I did that.
But that was a 4-3 or a 3-4. It didn't matter to me, but they were getting after. They were pressuring and trying to put pressure on the offense to execute. I think that's how you have to play today. I honestly don't think they're, even the quote unquote really good defenses today, they're at the mercy of San Francisco played defense as good as anybody, and they gave up 31 points in the Super Bowl. I mean, 34 points, whatever it was. Teams
because your
today,
guy's been on a milk container since Justin Smith hurt his tricep.
The offense is just at an event. The offense is just better right now. And the whole defense, I think this is where I agree with Andy. He's been sort of slow to adapt and been a little bit stubborn. I don't think you can do the things that you used to do and get away with it. I think you need to try to do things differently and try to force timing and hope that you can, come up with one play in a series that puts the offense out of its rhythm instead of hoping that the offense misses a play and puts itself out of its rhythm.
What do you say, Eddie?
Well, that's exactly the pressure. I mean, if you see the Jets never had a marquee pass rusher the past couple of years, but they still put pressure. Why? Because of the defense. It's just, you got to attack.
Imagine how much harder the Jets' job is on defense than anybody else's offense.
And that's where Rex Ryan, a coach like him, comes in because it's not, it's pressure from different areas.
Yeah.
And that's what they all say. You got to keep these quarterbacks guessing. It's almost like if you have Clay Matthews coming at you every game, you can do something to stop that, like the teams have. But when it comes from different places, like the Steelers or the Ravens do it, then it's much, much more tough for the quarterback to recognize where the pressure's coming from.
And it's not like Houston. Houston's very aggressive defensively, and they got eviscerated by the Patriots because they do the same thing.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
So you got to change it up. Even if you put pressure, you can't do it all the time.
Right.
You got to change that up.
You got to change it up. These quarterbacks are too smart. Coordinators are too smart. And you do have to change it up. All right, Eddie.
Well, let me go throw my quarter in the wishing well again.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Eddie.
All right.
That was a good question. That was a good little branch off discussion there.
Yeah.
And anytime I get a chance to talk about Andy picking Gerard Mayo and Andre Carter to split votes at Defensive Player of the Year.
Paul, I think some of the Patriots are talented. You think they all stink, including the quarterback. We just have different views.
That
pretty much sums it up.
Connor's in Springfield.
See, Paul just agreed that he says Brady stinks because I said he stinks and he said that sums it up. We agree. On the record. He said he stinks.
Connor, how you doing? Is that Springfield, Mass you're from?
Hello?
Yes, Connor.
This ain't Connor. It's Orlando.
What's up, Orlando?
This is Orlando?
Sorry, we got a backup monkey behind the glass
today.
Yeah,
Pepe wrote down Connor.
More like a gorilla.
Sorry, Orlando.
It's all good. It's all good, man. I'm recovering over here. I just had surgery, man. I'm high.
As a mofo?
What kind of surgery did you have, if you don't mind saying?
So lousy bunion.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, it sounds stupid, but man, this thing just really puts you on your tail, man. You can't do nothing.
That sounds kind of a little bitchy.
it does until you have it.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll never have one. That's that big thing on your toe that, bulges out.
It can be.
Yeah, it's like a bone, and they got a... Yeah, anyway, man. Listen, man, just wanted to know, first of all, what happened to Glenn Ordway, man? I'm hearing this for the first time.
Fired.
They fired him Tuesday night, I guess, and so these are his last few days at EEI.
They're going in a different direction.
Wow. Oh, so it's not nothing he did, right?
No.
Well, he said his ratings aren't good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a ratings-based business.
Yeah.
They're not good enough.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a shocker, man. Well, anyway, listen, man, bring up the point that I guess I think it was Paul that was making, or Andy or somebody, was making about, like, you know, the defenses and the offenses. Like, with the way the game is now, I mean, I think it's clear y'all can see that the offense has such an advantage now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wanted to know, in your opinion, man, what do you guys think in the future? Do you think the league will start maybe shifting some of the advantages back to the defense? Or do you see this, you know, the offense just, you know, expanding even more?
I think it's hard because, you know, the way these offenses spread guys out, unless they're going to add another defensive player on the field, it's really hard to
to
shut down teams like defenses used to.
Not shut down, but if you allow more contact
in
the defensive backfield, you can do it. Now, I think one rule that is always going to be talked about that has a chance is the pass interference. And that would be seen as a way, that's a positive for the defense. If that becomes a 15-yard penalty,
then you'd be
not
more,
a spot foul.
Then you'd be more willing to have contact.
But in general, I think you're going to continue to see the league wants to have points and scoring. We talked about it the other day. Fantasy football numbers and all this crap, that's what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even though some of us do kind of find the punt so surprising nowadays, whenever you see like a three and out or a stop, you sort of get surprised. But I think we're in the minority of that. We think the game isn't as good. You know, some people feel like, you know, the 38-35 games, that's great. And the ratings have never been higher and the attendance is up. And that's the way. But yeah, it's just every game. Yeah,
but it depends how you get there. I mean, if you get there on that cheap-ass Wes Welker penalty and then score a touchdown after that, that's not fun. If you get there because Randy Moss got behind a DB and made a great catch, okay, give me all the points you can get.
You give me that Patriots-Giants game to end the 2007 perfect season,
right?
Regular season, I'll take that 38-35 game any day. Or the old Patriots-Colts games when McGinnis came up with the goal line stand, 38-34 or whatever it was. And then I think we lost by the same score in the conference championship game. I'll take games like that, that go back and forth and have drama and comebacks and this and that.
But they're not all like that.
But when it's every week and you just can't, you know, like the Patriots-Bills this year.
That is arena football.
37-31 and just no one could come up with a stop and, you know, it just one team runs out of time.
I think what I think you don't want to take out the fact that, you know, the Patriots go into the AFC championship game as the best offense in the league. And they scored 13 points. That unpredictability is part of what makes the game so great.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And you don't want it to be a one-sided game. I mean, I don't mean game as far as, you know, the games played every week. I mean, in general, the game. You don't want it to be just all offense.
Right. You don't want people saying, well, I'm going into the draft. I'm going to draft a tight end and a running back because offense wins. We don't want it to be definitive that this is the way you do it. You build an offense and you're guaranteed to win.
Right.
You want it so that defense still matters. Picking defensive players, playmate, that still matters. There's different ways to do it.
And you want teams who are maybe better at defense than offense going against a team that's better on offense than defense.
Yeah. To me, that's the ultimate, is if you can get a Super Bowl with the great offense versus the great defense. It's like, that's perfect.
Unique teams.
Right. Okay, we're going to go for another shootout and see who wins 52-50 this week.
Right.
It's not fun.
All right, Orlando.
Cool. Take care, fellas.
Thanks for the call.
Take care of your toe, you boo-boo baby.
My God.
James in Brisbane has a Valentine's email he wants to share with us. He says, hey, guys, hope you have a great Valentine's Day with your significant others. Andy, tell your mother I'll pick her up at about 8. I have some special Valentine wishes from the most important people in your lives that they wanted to be read out on air, so here goes. Fred, I love it when you push me around all over the place, feel your strong hands guiding me. The thing is, I'm designed to be used outdoors, not with the Veet cream. Please let me out of your bedroom from the Nut Wizard. Paul, your strong, powerful lips make me feel all bubbly inside. I just wish I could be unique and not like one of the pack. You go through two of us at an hour. Make me your special someone today. Love, the Diet Coke bottle.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Miller Lite.
No, because you really drink a lot more Diet Coke than Miller Lite.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Andy, please leave me alone. The late night calls and tweets are getting scary. I appreciate the attention, but if you don't back off, I'm going to have to call the police. Sincerely, Robert Quinn, co-signed by Sam Bradford, Rob Gronkowski, Brooklyn Decker, Jed Sturger, Rashard Mendenhall, and Catherine Webb. And finally, Eric.
I don't think he likes Catherine Webb.
No, Catherine Webb doesn't have what I'm looking for.
No?
Big tatas.
Okay. Finally, Eric, I feel like I go everywhere with you. You make me feel needed, and late at night, I love being the one you turn to. It would just be nice to have one day every now and then to take a break. Happy Valentine's Day, Eric's right hand.
Yes, I knew it.
Now that's funny right there.
All right, we're going to get a complaint on that one.
Keep up the good work. Great show. Won't miss a minute this off season.
Good stuff.
Yep, good stuff.
Good stuff. Eric, do you have something you'd like to say? Good stuff?
Nope.
Jimmy in Sweden, we were talking about IP Radio. Quick email from him. He says, listening to you right now in my car through the Patriots Android app, my phone, Bluetooth, Skoda, original stereo, and it works fine. Great show as always. Best of luck to you for the season, and thank you for all the valuable entertainment Tuesdays and Thursdays. Woo-wee! So he's still using the phone. Bluetooth. That's not quite.
I want it coming. So I click on my radio and can do
That's
it.
That's coming. You're going to have to pay a subscription for that, though.
I won't.
Because it's going to. You'll need a cell plan because Wi-Fi isn't everywhere. If there was enough Wi-Fi everywhere, you wouldn't have to do that. But because it isn't, you'll need like a subscription with Verizon or.
Sooner or later, shouldn't there be Wi-Fi everywhere?
Yeah, but it's impossible in rural areas to have. You know.
Is it essentially going to be like a 3G or a 4G type of thing in your car?
Exactly. And you would pay a little bit extra to have that.
What's a little bit?
I don't know. They'll probably $30 a month.
Sheesh.
Yeah. I mean, for people who are on the road a lot, it'd be worth it. Like Sirius Radio, satellite radio, is like $12 or $15 a month. I think if you go any higher than that, then people start making a decision.
Why couldn't it be run through Sirius? Why couldn't Sirius branch off
into IP
radio?
It's a completely different. Well,
they couldn't shoot the signal.
Sirius shows are now found on IP radio. You can get us, you know, pay a little extra to Sirius, and the same shows that you have on satellite, you can get through your computer.
Right,
but it's a completely different network that it goes through.
No, but why you couldn't use Sirius's satellite technology to shoot? They would take in the IP radio, allow you to get it through their.
I think it's.
Shot.
I think it's.
So I'd be doing
the whole
idea. But this is really the future.
No, but
I think Sirius should be trying to.
The whole idea of IP radio is it lowers the bars for producers. You don't need an antenna anymore. It's low cost to produce.
No, I know.
You start talking about satellites again. Now you're.
No, I'm not
talking about. Why they don't think satellite can make it is because of the cost.
I'm talking about Sirius should be a way to. A conduit to get you the IP radio. The stuff that's already being produced or will be produced, like us.
Right.
If that's the future of listening, then I think Sirius, which already has a network in place of subscribers, technology in cars, and satellites flying around the world,
right.
They should be shooting you the IP radio through their network, find a way to monetize it, an add-on subscription, a pay-per-view, whatever it is. But to me, it would seem that they, to some level, already have network in place.
I think it comes down to capability and limitations, and maybe someone who's up on the satellite radio technology can tell us why. Like you said, makes sense. You already have these satellites up there. Why can't you do the reverse? Satellite radio goes on IP. Why can't you have IP radio come through satellite?
I mean, is there a bandwidth issue?
I think there is a certain amount of channels that they can have. You know, it's not like the internet.
Because that's what I'd be doing if I were them. Try to stay on the forefront of this technology.
Yeah.
Okay, you were when you were satellite radio,
like,
but now there's something chewing at your ass.
Like if I have satellite in my car and the weather station is Boston, Philadelphia, and one other, and then they rotate.
Right.
Why not? You would think, well, why not just give Boston its own weather? I think there's a limited amount of stations that they can have on satellite.
They should fix that.
Well, you're talking about these things orbiting the Earth. It's expensive to fix it.
Especially when we don't have space shuttles anymore.
Right. We don't have a space program.
How are we supposed to get up there? We've got to call the Russians.
Right. Let's go to Justin in Portland. Hey, Justin.
Hey, it's Chester. Man, this monkey needs a tune-up back
This gorilla
there.
Wow. Is deaf, dumb, and stupid.
Pepe, what the hell is going on back there?
It's Chester in Portland. How you
Chester,
doing,
I'm sorry, buddy. I'm struggling today, guys. I'm sorry. I asked Orlando three times what his name was, and I said, is it Connor? And he said, yep. So
how do you get Justin out of
Chester?
Chester.
Chester.
Well, Chester. It's a step up over Melissa.
Sorry, Chester.
I'll say that, but, you know.
All right. Hey, Chester.
Hey guys, how you doing? Listen, I wanted to call in and sound off on Gronk. You guys kind of let off on your dismay about his response with that t-shirt and this and that. You know, I don't think it's our job to give this guy a lot of hell, you know. You guys referenced to Tony Gonzalez and his potential, you know, measuring up to that, hopefully. I'm here to tell you, before I moved up to the Northwest, I ran a bar and grill right on the beach in Huntington Beach, and Tony Gonzalez was a huge regular of ours. I'm here to tell you, that kid partied hard.
Right.
And social networking wasn't a thing then. I mean, we're going back like 7 years, you know, with that. And, you know, the big picture here is he's in his early 20s, you know. I'm going to favor the system and make this thing right. you know, as far as the team goes. And, you know, I just think we really got to cut this kid some slack.
Okay.
You know, that's, you know, with his young years and you know, let the chips fall where they may. We do need a leader, though, to check him a little bit.
Well, Chester, I think where Andy draws the line is not the partying. I think up until last week, he had no problem with him being seen with the girls and, you know, doing the keg stands and all that stuff. I think what he was worried about is you got a broken arm and you're putting yourself in danger and thereby maybe hurting your team if you hurt that arm again. I think that's where he drew the line.
You're just being stupid. Yeah. That to me falls under stupid. There's a difference
not
between
the partying, right?
No, right. You can party without crossing the line into pure stupidity.
Well, that's the
which
thing
is what he did last year.
We're talking about,
I mean, he was all over the place, but he was working out. He was in shape when he got to camp. He was fine. It didn't affect him on the field.
That's my exception, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but, you know, it's time and place. I mean, we're after the season. You know, there's nothing going on workout-wise. I trust in the fact that he will be healthy. Yeah, it is stupid. But, you know, I ask this, you know, has this ever happened in the regular season or in his college career during the season? You know, and has he had any problems with the law?
Has whatever happened?
Yeah, as for him parting, you know, when it's relevant to football workouts and, you know, the season.
Yes, it has.
Yes.
It has.
Without getting into any specifics, yes. He parties during the season.
I'm taking umbrage in the fact
that. And everybody does. I agree with you. Tony Gonzalez probably partied during the season. Tom Brady earlier in his career, before he got married and had three kids, partied during the season.
To me, going out to a bar, like he said that Tony Gonzalez was out and I don't have any problem with Rob Gronkowski going out.
No.
I have a problem with what he does when he's out. He doesn't seem to be able to go out and sit around
without getting,
and have, you know, some
ridiculous
beers and whatever without getting to
your famous quote. I drink to get drunk.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. That's a party to him.
And the stupidity factor is irrelevant of him being a professional athlete for the New England Patriots. That has more responsibilities. But if Fred Kirsch went out with a broken arm and I saw him on stage body slamming or DDTing or any of the wrestling moves, I'd say that's stupid.
Exactly.
That you've crossed the line into stupidity.
Yeah, but I think the larger point is that most of these athletes have done this earlier in the years without social networking, and it went under the radar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's magnified. You know,
all the more reason to not do it.
Right.
He is doing some stupid stuff. There's no question about that. But, you know, I think it's consistent with what a lot of players have done in the past early in their careers. You know, I understand.
And does it end some people's career, you think? Or limit their career?
Potentially. And I think that, you know, it hasn't affected anybody's career, you know, in the larger scheme of things with a lot of these players as far as their, you know, lack of care of their body on the off season. I think they right the ship by the time we get into June, July. And
how do you make that blanket statement?
Well, I just think that, you know, how many cases have there been when you've heard about, you know, these guys hurting themselves going into the regular season in the off season, aside from Kellen Winslow and the motorcycle?
Wait, I'm not just talking about injury. I'm talking about overall performance, health,
you're just not
strength,
ready.
But there is
everything.
A correlation between what Gronk did on that stage and what Winslow did, and it's a lack of common
sense.
It's
super stupid.
Just you're not
stupid
using,
on steroids.
You're not using your head. But I think one thing that does help Gronk in these situations is that he seems to be a happy drunk. You know, no, and it makes a difference because some of these guys get drunk
get
and
angry.
They want to fight,
exactly,
or they
bang a girl to the point where it's
some guy's boyfriend is pissed. You know, and now you've got a confrontation in a Las Vegas casino, and you're Pac-Man Jones.
That is absolutely correct. There are levels of stupidity and problem. This is not anywhere near the top of the problem list.
Right.
But it's still a problem. It's still something you'd prefer not to happen.
Sure.
I totally agree. But I think maturity will correct a lot of this.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
I do. You know, he's a young kid. And God knows I was up to the same old stuff, and I came out the other side all right. And I don't even have anywhere near the kind of responsibility this kid has to worry about. But the larger point is that, you know, we all did this, you know, when we were 22, 23, 24 years old. And we weren't under a microscope when it was all happening.
True.
You know, I'm just saying, look, guys, we've got to pump our brakes a little bit and understand that, you know, he's acting out, he's growing up. And, you know, I really do think that we're going to hear less and less of this as we go on.
I hope so.
But, I don't know why
I don't
you
have much faith
that.
In that.
I just don't. I don't know why we just automatically assume he's going to stop. Like, what do we have as evidence of that?
I think if he gets a girl, he might stop.
I want to counter the argument, just saying, look, guys, you know, he's a kid, so we think we got to see that a little bit.
Yeah.
So
no, he just got $54 million.
So
a grown man.
Real quick question, Chester: is Aaron Hernandez more mature than Rob Gronkowski? Then.
Well, as far as what we've seen and heard, you know, that's remained to be seen. He hasn't really, you know, done anything like this. But, you know, if he's going to be hanging out in Manhattan Beach, California, you know, I think the jury's out. We'll see. He's going to have a lot of sidetracks going on around that.
Oh, he's got a kid now. I mean,
I would say Hernandez is way more mature right now at the same age than Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, I agree.
But who would you rather have?
Agree. I think Jackson.
Well,
Hart,
I'd rather have. I'd rather
mature.
Have Gronk acting like Aaron Hernandez.
And I certainly wouldn't consider Hernandez. You know, the height of maturity.
No,
no.
Just, and I agree with Eric. In comparison,
that comparison.
Right.
Yeah, he's more mature than Gronk.
But. All right, Chester.
But even
thanks.
With that, I'll take Gronk
guys.
10 times out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll take the bad and the good of Gronk and the bad of the good of over the bad and the good of Hernandez.
Yeah, right. I just hope that we're not in 5 years wondering what could have been. That's all I'm saying.
I would love to, in 12 years, say, what a marvel he was. He acted like a moron.
He ended up being
partied
Mickey Mantle,
as hard as anyone and rewrote the record books for tight ends.
I also,
could Mickey Mantle have been even better?
Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe, but maybe
or worse.
Maybe he fed off of that, like
right.
you said earlier
right.
in the
Babe
show.
Ruth, right. everybody. Right. All these guys that were great had their vices.
I also don't want to go down the road where in, what is it, 2 years, 3 years, the Patriots say, we have an option to exercise and we're not exercising it. See you later, Gronk. You're not what you used to be. We don't trust you. I'd hate to see that happen.
That. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Brian is in Brighton on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
You got the monkey in the glass, like, calling, getting on the phone to make sure he's got the name right.
Could you spell your name, please?
Is your name
is
in
that
the
with an I or a Y?
I got the wax out of
are
my
Are you
ears.
Making them use, like, V as in Victor and A as in Aardvark and do the police thing?
Well, in all good spirit, I got to give the shot to Chester like I gave Ben. Like, don't worry, it's not going to make me cry if you get my name wrong.
Plus, you can just tell us when you get on the air.
Well, it would have been funny if he just said, "Yeah, it's Brian," and said, "No, it's Ken. What are you doing?"
Yeah, it's Brendan in Brighton.
It's Byron.
So I wanted to call real quick because I wanted to touch on something, and the guy from Sweden stole my thunder. Andy, it's here now. It's on your phone. You can plug. You just hook your phone up to your
no,
your
I know,
car
but
radio.
But my phone has a battery, and my phone, you know, I want it, so I just turn my radio on, and it's boom. There.
I know, but what the call? You can plug your phone in too and get juice.
No, I know. It's just
but the
an
problem
added
is
step.
Data plans. Now right. you're talking data, you know.
Right.
So there
but
is.
You already got the data plan on your phone. That's where the whole Ford, the Microsoft Sync technology on Ford is now.
Right.
It all runs through your phone. I mean. Stop talking about Sirius satellites.
No, I mean, but I want it right in my car.
Well,
that's
what if you
I
had
want.
A place that really, you literally mount the phone into your dashboard and it takes over your phone. And now, you know, the well, only difference is that instead of, you know, the guts being in the dashboard, it's in your phone, but you're reading it on your dashboard just like you would a phone. That's
I
possible.
Guess.
You can do
I
that
guess.
Right now.
But now you're...
It's here. It's
I didn't
here.
Have to plug my Walkman into my car to listen
no,
to
but
it. It was
even,
in my car.
But Andy, isn't it even better? Because now this device, once you're done in your car, you take it with you. So let's just say there was a great interview on the radio, okay? Now you don't have to turn your car off and you miss it. You just take the thing and put your earplugs in and you still listen to the same thing you were listening to in the car. It's
but
even
I can,
better.
I can do that now.
No, you can't.
The radio in my car plays the same stuff as the radio in my house, as the radio in my Walkman, as
yeah,
the radio
not if
anywhere
you're coming
I've used
to work.
It.
You know, not
if I had a radio, I could.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, I don't want to have to think on anything else other than I want it built into my car.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
But I really think that
just
this,
like a regular
this
radio.
Device,
Andy wants to hit preset one and have it go
yes,
to Patriots.com
radio.
Patriots.com radio.
But what you're not realizing though is this device now is becomes your entertainment wallet. Whatever's on your phone, you can have on your TV now.
I feel like you're in a pitch
well,
meeting.
Let's not undervalue.
No, I'm
not,
like he's pitching this product to me.
I'm not pitching it. I'm just saying what the possibilities are.
No, I know, and they all have versions of that now. All of them are getting more and more screens with more and more. Like you said, there's the sync and there's the this. They all have their little catchy name for it. I just want it to be the radio. I don't want it to be proprietary to Honda or anything else. I want to know that when I rent a car and I get in that car, it has my internet radio in it. Because
no,
it's just
no, you want
radio.
To know what you really want.
No, don't tell me what I want!
I'm telling you, what you really want is when you rent that car, you want it to know it's going to work with your phone so that whatever you have on your phone goes with you.
But it
you.
Won't. Our it listeners will. Know that it as will. Well as anybody. There's They've only, been asking you for a damn Android app or something for months and years,
only,
and you can't give it to
it
them.
It will. It will. Andy.
It will. Stop telling me it will. I want it to do.
It will.
You're taking on the behemoth now, Andy. Like, that's not, I mean, this is, This is why the EEIs are getting rid of Glenn Ordway, because he's getting overpaid $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
It's old school radio. It doesn't matter. Everything's on the internet now. Like, satellite streaming? Was a joke then.
But I can't get it in my car. That's my point. I can't get it easily. I have to work to get it.
There's a little bit of work
knowing
involved.
It's always there. You never think about real radio because you know real radio is always there. It's just, you fall back and it's there. It's like, I have Netflix. I use Netflix on my phone and on my iPad and on my Xbox. But it's not always there. You know what I mean? It's an extra. Whereas TV, I know if I go to my mother's house, I go to your house, I go to Paul's house, I can watch ESPN. Everyone has it. I don't need to think, do they have Netflix so they can log in to, you know what I want it to be universal.
I know, but now,
you have an answer for everything.
If someone, let's say you go to someone's house.
You don't?
Yeah, I know, right?
I wasn't even involved in this argument. You're a friend of me
like,
as a comedian.
This is what, to me, has made Apple great, is the way that they've integrated iTunes with your iPhone, with your iPod.
The ecosystem.
Now, yeah. If you could sell me that was what it was, that I plug this into my car, and then I go home, and it's already synced up with I like that idea. But to me, again, you get back to, that's just Apple. Are you going to be an Apple consumer? No one is a blank radio. They're just radio. It's just there. It's everywhere. It's different receivers. It's different systems. It's, you know what I mean? It's universal.
But I think when it comes to the actual content, okay, this show right now isn't owned by Apple. It isn't owned by Google.
Right.
You can get it on Apple and Google.
Right.
You know, so the idea is that now there's these directories that we put our show on, and whether or not you're using this device or not, as long as you can access that directory, you'll have access to
right.
our show.
But I can't do that in my car. Well, I can do it on my phone. Cannot do it in my car.
Yes, you can.
With my phone.
Yeah, as long as your phone is the option.
And as long as I have the charger to make sure my phone doesn't die when I'm driving
Correct.
2 hours.
Correct.
Something I don't have to worry about with the radio because it doesn't die.
But what I'm saying is it's going to come to the point where you just, boom.
It's going to come to the point where it comes into my ears automatically.
Shut up a second. When are we going to come to the point where we can move on?
Paul hates technology.
Like you put your keys in the car. Okay.
Now you don't even do that.
You don't even do, but now you'll just put your phone in the car and boom, you're done.
But I won't.
Yes.
Because then there's an issue. What happens when I get a new phone? What happens when there's an upgrade of a phone? I want a different brand. I want a different plan. I want a different this. Does it fit? I need an adapter. Apple went from the 5-pin to the 20-pin. Blah, blah, blah. Not once have I ever had that problem with radio. Okay. Never did I have to update my radio in my car. It just plays the stuff I want.
And you were limited. It played the stuff that was available.
I wasn't limited. You were limited.
Being old, but you're the curmudgeon.
A little bit. Like, but I want what I want, but I want it my way.
But I'll tell you something. Brian, there is something to who Andy is because he's a lot of people.
And they're all in my head just bouncing off.
Well, he does have multiple personalities.
But people think we want a million choices. But when it comes down to it, with those choices, you end up choosing like 5 of them on a regular basis.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah, I'm not anti-technology, by the way. I just don't know anything about it.
I thought that your tweet today, Fred, was just so poignant. It's what really struck me yesterday because the people in the Boston area know the Glenn Ordway being fired is a big deal in the area. And it's just, I laugh at it because I think about how visionary you have been, Fred, in setting up.
Get off
stuff.
Your knees.
I became
you're doing the host
of Patriots.com when I was down in grad school in North Carolina because I could stream and watch like Dave Curzoli doing Patriots updates on the internet.
It's true.
Like,
that's huge.
So I mean, that was the only way I could get my Patriots news.
Yep. Yeah.
Dave still sends me a random tweet a random text every once in a while.
Now,
that guy, gotta love him.
He's awesome.
I'll give someone a free a T-shirt. If they can tell me who the first host of the nightly Patriots video show was. None of you guys. But
was it Dave Curzoli?
It was not Dave Curzoli.
No.
He goes way back before
I don't know the
him.
Answer.
The first video host for Patriots
News. I think
News
I know
the
answer, but I'm not
so, first
sure.
emailer that gives me, put it in the subject line so I can see it, I'll give you a PFW
I don't think anyone's getting that.
Yeah,
unless it's available on Google.
I think
they've been with him since the beginning.
I think Brian's right. I think Dave is sort of the original.
He wasn't the original.
I know, but that's when you kind of really made it a show, and that's Dave kind of made it a show.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, I was, like, professionally produced almost. I mean, it was like watching
TV. Almost. Bob Doyle somewhere getting upset.
Dave and Bob were a great team. Bob Doyle's still here, by the way.
I want to ask one quick question, because I know you're the consummate professional, Paul, but I always been curious. Why? Because it's come out now with, I know you guys read Barstool, so we've seen all, like, what that whole
I don't.
Drama was about. But why did you disappear off the Big Show?
On the Big Show? They changed the format.
So they just never invited you back?
They never invited anybody back. They had, you know, obviously for years they had Glenn would have two rotating hosts every day, and they would change, and they decided to move Dale Arnold out and switch Michael Holly. When Michael Holly came in to the Big Show, they no longer had rotating guests. It was a two-man show. I hadn't been on the Big Show probably for a few months before that, but I think it was just kind of the summer. I always was on more often in football season. I used to do...
Plus, you slept with Glenn's wife, right?
Well, only once. I used to do one Big Show during the week, and then I would do the Sunday pregame show on EEI, and that was every week during football season. I would be on twice a week, and then for a while, I kept doing one Big Show appearance, even in the off season. But the last year I did it, when football ended, I was a little sporadic, and then I went a few months without being on, and then all of a sudden they changed formats. But it wasn't because they said, "Oh, you're not welcome back anymore." No one ever said that to me.
Yeah, well, it was. I always looked forward to hearing your, like, you know, sullen, like, bitter to the ridiculousness of the Big Show. So, I mean, once you were gone, it was kind of,
well, it was like a balance
and all that obnoxiousness. But anyways, I just wanted to say thank you guys, and I wanted to throw one shout out for you, Fred. Like, they're all talking about their like young demographics and stuff like that. You guys always brag on that fact, and I think it's true. Look at your fan base. I think we're worth a lot of money. So why don't you throw a survey out there, Fred, and I'd be more than happy to answer all the questions. My income, the education, all that stuff.
Would you buy lunch?
Are you willing to buy lunch?
Nah. Credit card number and address.
That's great. Thanks for the...
thanks for all those nice
words. Thanks for filleting Fred.
And thanks for listening. I mean, I appreciate that someone actually remembers listening to me.
No, we actually did do a radio survey about 5 years ago. We should do another one, really.
We've grown exponentially since then.
Yeah. But no, there's no doubt that, look,
we're awesome.
What I love about our audience, it's men, it's women, it's older men, it's younger.
It's national, it's international.
Right. You know, it's
mature,
really,
it's immature, it's educated, it's a drug dealer.
The problem with that from a business sense is that
it really
true.
Is.
We're
drug addicts, maybe.
We have like rocket scientists and
literally
like drug users.
The problem
literally
is, from an advertising sense, that's not good. You know, they want
a target.
They want a silver bullet. They want, okay, this is the demo, and I know if I put this ad on, I'm going to reach the right people.
Yeah, and that's why they're falling behind.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's why we don't have a lot of ads.
No. I mean, advertisers and those. We talked about this a little bit this morning, and I think that they're missing out because I think people still are operating on principles that was sort of developed 30, 40, 50 years ago. It was still kind of using the same theories. When the world is a totally different place, and everything has changed, you know, you make fun of me for being, you know, like
fat.
Stuck in my ways, and it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Plus, if we have an audience that diverse, we'd be the perfect place to advertise if you're a new business or a new product
right.
that you want everybody to know about.
Right. If you're a new soda, everybody drinks soda. Some more than others, Paul. And, like, it's not like you could only just say,
I'm not
you know, women's lingerie.
I know what you're saying, but I'm not sure that that's how it works. I think even
it's definitely not how it works.
But that's
absolutely right.
But that doesn't mean that's how it should always work.
But it should probably work a little bit more the way Eric's talking than the way it does.
I think that when a company comes up with a new product, I think that they have a demographic in mind.
Yeah,
this
sure.
is who will probably be the people who buy us the most. This is who we need to go after rather than a shotgun approach.
But wait a minute. We have those. Everybody that listens to this show is a sports fan, correct?
on some level. No one listens to the show. At least one sport.
Right. Yes. At least one sport.
So we know you've already.
Except for Brooklyn Matt. I don't think he likes sports.
He doesn't. He just likes men.
Right.
He just likes, you know, being pompous.
Right. But I mean, if you wanted to, you could kind of generalize our audience. I mean, they are, I've said this, they're technologically in a certain tier.
Well, that they have in common.
Right? Yep. So you know that they're sports loving, technologically advanced, mm-hmm. probably, I would guess, have some sort of money because they have the technology. I mean, generally poor people aren't on the edge of the cutting edge of technology because they can't afford the technology to, you know, have their iPhone to listen to. So you can kind of generalize any way you want. We have an audience. It's just their problem. And I still think if you have a product and you're starting really low level grassroots trying to get,
but even
this is the type of place where you can do something like that at a low cost.
Even a company,
it's not
like
a Super Bowl ad.
Even we've been talking about Apple and all their products. A company like Apple, I don't think really has a demographic that they're trying to target.
Right.
They want everybody to buy Apple.
My kids use my iPad and my mother has an iPad.
Exactly.
That's from 3 to however old my mother is.
It's a good point.
So
James in Brisbane knows.
You can make
not every product is like that, but I'm saying there are I think enough of them out there that you could support advertising with an audience like this.
Paul's not worried about Matt screwing up every caller to the show today because Matt just bought him a new bottle of soda, so he thinks he's doing a fine job.
He's doing a great job in there.
Let's go to Craig in Chicago. Hey, Craig.
This is actually Jerry.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Is your name actually Craig?
Yeah, I spoke to you Tuesday.
What's up? How's your week?
Well, I just wanted to call and clear up something. I apologize. I didn't realize when I listened to the recording, I didn't realize somebody said that the guys that I know hate you. That's not true.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sure there's guys that
hate you. You have the friends
on the team.
Right,
yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
They don't know who we are.
Yeah, they've never heard of you. That's
let's get that out in the open. They don't even know who we are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I didn't realize somebody said hate until I heard the recording.
Oh, okay. So hate's a strong word. Dislike, yeah. Dislike might be more appropriate. Or
can you tell us who you know?
Their asses.
But if you let me know who they are, I'll tell you if they have any idea who we are.
Or if they hate us.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, you can email it to the show, and then we won't mention it.
No, that you can't make that guarantee because you read a lot of things that you say. Oh, this is for
off
air.
Can't make that guarantee with Andy.
Because I do know.
I didn't promise it.
We've never had a conversation about you guys or anything like that, so
yeah.
I have no idea if they do or don't.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
In general, to be honest with you,
I'm guessing they don't.
I think the three of us, we'd be hard pressed to find guys in that locker room we don't like.
Oh, I could find.
Well, I think the guys that have been on this show, like Gerard Mayo, and they like us, right?
I think most of them.
Well,
like
I think when they're here, they're nice to us.
I think
but I don't
much,
think they pay us any mind.
I think much any of the ones that really know who we are would like us.
Yeah. But Paul, don't put it. These guys know who's who.
Nah, there's a lot of them that don't.
There's
a lot of guys in that locker room that don't know Greg Bedard from the Boston Globe, the lead analyst from one of the smallest guys.
They
know all the faces and they know all the people that they see every day.
Well,
they don't know one
I think
from the other.
Some of these low-level bloggers, they may not. But when
like us?
When it comes,
right.
No, but we're here all the time. I mean, when it comes to the Greg Bedard, they know. They know who
I'm not
he
sure
is.
You're right.
They
know what they see. They know people they see on TV.
I know that guy's in the locker room.
You're
I saw that guy on TV. I've seen him
no,
in the locker room.
You're underestimating the chit-chat they have with each other. I'm telling
you. Oh, I think
you.
They make fun of us. Like the guy with the big head that's always with the fat guy that's bald. I think they do that kind of stuff.
It's unbelievable.
No, I think they definitely
Craig,
do that.
Why are you laughing?
But I don't think they say that Andy Hart with the big head and that Paul Perillo. Like,
they know who you are.
The big gut.
You don't
some
think
do.
That they watch Patriot shows?
Oh, some do.
Of course they
but
do.
But they don't see it enough. The guys they see all the time, like Mike Reese has really elevated because he's on SportsCenter a lot now. They use him for like little stand-ups on his box
plus
and everything.
Schmoozes with
the
plus, yeah, Mike is a good schmooze.
He schmoozes. Yeah.
Well, it backfires on him sometimes. But
hey, guys, before I go, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was down there about 5 years ago doing training camp. And I was down there with my wife. And Mike Reese walked over to me and he said, exact words. That's what he said. He said, "Hi, I know who you are." Then he walks away.
What is he, a spy?
True story. And I don't know who he thought I was, but that's what he said. He just and my wife looked at me, and I looked at her, and was like, "What the hell?"
Maybe he's seen you with your friends on the team, and he recognized you.
It was weird. I don't
that's
know.
A very strange story. Mike is one of the nicest people I know.
And he might actually know you, but usually he says, I've seen him say hello to plenty of people in the crowd, fans.
Random people. He just walks up and he introduces himself. Hi.
Usually he'll like have a discussion with you.
Yeah. That's weird. That's like serial killer like or something.
Well, he was like, I know who you are. And then I think he said, enjoy yourself or something. And then he just walks away.
Oh, that's weird.
Are you an agent?
No, I'm not an agent.
Oh, okay.
You a handler?
Yeah.
How do you know all these players? Can you at least tell us that?
Did you play?
One of my friends' fraternity brothers used to play for the team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some years back. And
what school did you go to?
Am I the only one that this is going to like bother, like trying to figure this
probably,
out?
Probably, because it's not bothering me at all. I can guarantee you I'll never walk up to you in the crowd and say I know you, because, even if I knew you, I wouldn't.
Are you guys down there doing training camp a lot?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Come see Paul and Fred.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll meet you guys this year.
All right.
Okay, sounds good.
You tell us the day you're there, you're here, and we'll meet up with you.
We'll effort that.
Okay, cool.
All that's right, no Craig.
See you, Craig. Right,
thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling.
If that's your name.
Yeah. That's not Reese-like to just say, I know who you are, and then walk away. Mm. It'd more be like, I know who you are, and can we have dinner sometime?
Right.
Yeah.
Bill, and how are the kids, and how's your mother? I talked to your mother last week.
Right.
Not in that way, but.
I was going to say, well.
But that's how he is. He's one of those, salesman type who remembers everybody's name and family story.
I bumped into you in Chicago when they played the Bears back in 03.
Whereas me, I could have dinner with you for 4 hours and 3 days later not remember you.
We went to a Red Sox. I went to a Red Sox game with him once, and it was like he was the mayor.
Yeah.
Everybody knew him.
That's good. When you're a reporter, that's good.
Yeah.
Andy and I are just getting a taste of that. It's not so good for us.
Nick says,
Paul's barber calls me Andy Fart.
Andy Fart.
Nick says the whole radio on the phone thing, before this works, you should make sure the Android app doesn't crash anymore and pay for my data plan.
That's also my point. If it's just in your car and they get Wi-Fi everywhere, then no one has to pay anything. Did you ever have to pay for radio, or is it government subsidized?
Well, yeah. You pay for it by listening to the ads.
I thought that your guy was doing that for us. High-speed internet everywhere.
Obama?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's working on it right now. I saw him out in the street on Route 1.
No, but wasn't that one of his,
I saw him with Scott Johnson earlier.
Platforms? He was going to fix the economy by bringing broadband and high-speed internet everywhere, and that would create modern jobs and technology
Everywhere is relative. Everywhere is relative.
So not.
When you're traveling in
a... Relative is a word for not.
Well, when you're...
Because everywhere to me means... Everywhere.
So yes, in Everett, no in Malden.
Yeah,
right.
When you're traveling,
that's like 4G. You can't get 4G everywhere.
And when you're traveling, but there's.
But they don't claim they're bringing it everywhere. Your guy said he was bringing it everywhere. So another Obama lie.
Would you say that cellular is everywhere in the United States?
Yes.
Okay, but it's not.
Pretty close.
Okay, but it's
like 99%. If your guy brings it to 99%, I'll say he brought it everywhere. If I can't get it on the highest mountain peak in northern Maine, okay, it's not everywhere.
And Wi-Fi is a little different than cellular in that when you're in a moving car, it's. A little bit more difficult to make that a reality,
And Terraces can do it.
Probably.
I have faith in them.
Yes.
They provide a nice lunch and a nice wireless fidelity.
Mary Beth guessed Dave Crizzoli. That's not correct. Good try. We talked about him. He is not the original host of Patriots video news on the internet.
That just gave me – I had a dream about the flight attendant.
Okay.
What's her name? She listens to us.
Karen.
The nice one. Karen. Mm. I had a dream that I was running the marathon, but somehow
she could be running the marathon.
Aaron Salkin was somehow, he was like my guide on how to do it, but it wasn't like a traditional marathon. You had to like run through, it came into those other things, those like, challenges. What were we talking about the other day?
Tough Mudder.
Yeah. And it's like, I was running, then I had to run in a building and climb something. And then at one point I was in a building and I had to run through the pool and she was swimming a lap in the other direction. And she goes, "Hi, Andy." And I just kept going.
He didn't acknowledge her.
No, I waved and said hi and kept going. Yeah, that's weird. I just thought of that.
A lot of stuff.
Hey, Karen, how are you?
Because we were talking about Tough Mudder in the office.
Well, I wasn't talking about her.
No, but
how did she get in my dreams?
I don't know.
No offense, Karen, but.
I'm just saying, we were talking about all those kind of things. And
except her. I can't remember the, why did I think of her?
Subconscious thing there going on.
You make it sound dirty. We weren't having sex.
That doesn't.
She was swimming. She was doing laps in a pool. So maybe it was actually you, the female representation of you, because you do laps in a pool a lot. See, if we want to stretch this, we can stretch it in any direction you want to take it.
My guess is that you should probably stop.
Michael in Copenhagen, Denmark, writes in. He has an email about Patriots fauna and wildlife. First, fauna? He says, thank you for getting me through the offseason. It would be great if you guys did even more shows now that there's no more Football Nation or pre- or post-game show.
Whoa.
What?
Oh, because the season's over.
Yeah.
Well, there's still going to be a pre- and post-game show.
In the offseason. And Football Nation will be back next year with the fantasy show. And.
But you fired Kerry Byrne, right?
I didn't fire him. We're gonna meld.
He's reassigned.
We're going to meld Kerry into the Football Nation show, so he'll be part of their show.
So he's kind of like the Dale Arnold who got melded into all the other shows while he lost his own.
He's got a lot of things he's doing.
Okay.
A lot of projects.
That's the one thing I give EI and Glenn credit for, what? That he was fired. Don't pretend that he wasn't. He was fired.
No, he, yes.
That's what he said, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't like when people, like they pretended Kevin Winter wasn't fired. He was fired. Pretend.
Michael from Copenhagen, also, we were talking about Eric's trip to Africa.
Kenya.
And hippos. He said the hippopotamus is the creature that kills the most people in Africa,
you.
If you don't count mosquitoes. And it's one of the most aggressive creatures in the world. Over short distances, they can outrun a human. Also known to eat humans.
Just watching Eric run from him.
They're also known.
You're never gonna catch me.
They're also known to eat humans and meat on occasion.
See, he's gonna eat Eric.
Oh, relax.
You can outrun a hippo.
Such a worry wart.
Yeah, you're a distance runner.
The
next thing he
wants to talk about is Arrington. Bleacher Report. Check had an article about Kyle Arrington arguing he was one of the better or best on the Patriots backfield. I didn't like what I saw during the season, but the numbers seem to tell a different story. What are your thoughts on re-signing Kyle Arrington?
Well, I think he can argue he's one of the better in the defensive backfield.
Sure.
I mean,
he played.
Yeah. Like,
top five.
I thought he was going to say, in the league or in the whatever.
Yeah. No. On this team, on this roster?
I think he's a competitive backup corner.
He has started,
I think,
several times.
He started a lot. I mean, he led the league in interceptions, tied with Weddle, but he's not a starting corner.
He's definitely a situational role player.
Absolutely.
On a good defense, I think if he's your fourth corner, you're okay.
Yeah, I think that when you saw him have to move to the outside and Marquise Cole have to go inside in the AFC Championship game, there was a difference.
And they both
there was
struggled.
A drop-off.
There was a struggle. There was a drop-off at both positions because Arrington's better at the slot.
Not according to everybody. Some people think he covered Anquan Boldin like a blanket.
Who's some people? This
Greg Bedard.
You have so many fights.
Greg Bedard.
You two just need to fight it out, point for point, tit for tat.
And finally, Michael says, would you consider signing Henry Melton of the Bears and line him up next to Vince for some much-needed pocket pressure?
Andy?
When did, like... D-line, interior D-line become our necessary position?
It's down the list. I think it's something that they could use.
They lack depth there. They have a problem that Kyle Love and Brandon Dedrick are like lock players.
They're too
when they
similar.
Should be. But they also shouldn't be great.
But
they're your guys.
I think that...
they're both good. If they were the third or the fourth, they're the second and third.
But Vince is fine in there. He's top,
he better be. Otherwise, you really have a bad
cap. No, but he's top caliber at what he does. But he's not the kind of player I think they lack. I think they lack a penetrating interior defensive line.
Those are very hard to find.
But they also, who says they want him to penetrate? Who says Bill likes penetration?
Simon and Molly in the UK, I think there are...
And he laughs.
No, but in all seriousness, who said Bill wants penetrating defensive line?
It gets down to that... philosophy. Do you want that gap technique?
I know what your point is, Andy, but it would seem that Finene was a guy they went out to try to get something like that.
In a situational role, I think.
Yeah. Well, but I don't think
a third down rusher is in there.
But
eyes.
I'm not. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying every single play, just get after the quarterback. I'm saying they don't have a guy. Vince Wilfork is not that guy, situationally or any other way.
But for a team that, to me, has many needs.
Oh, yes. Not high on the
not
list.
Not unlimited resources in terms of draft picks or funds. I'm sorry, Henry Melton is nowhere near the top of my list. Anywhere. Right?
Well, I mean, if the price is right.
If I can get him for under $500,000, as Michael Holly would say, I'll take him.
Right.
If I can get a Lamborghini for under $23K, if I can keep my same payment and drive a Lamborghini, yes, I would like a Lamborghini. But since there's no way in hell that is happening, I'm not getting a Lamborghini.
Simon Michael and Holly, Molly in the UK, I think there are two other things to consider with Gronk. First, he's a sitting duck for an opportunistic woman who wants to make some money with a sexual assault charge. And second, and more importantly, if he does all this partying and crazy stuff and gets paid, what message does that send to everyone else in the team? This is the exact opposite of the Patriot way. This is more like the Raiders way. To me, his age is irrelevant. He's either a professional athlete who has the teammates and fans depending on him, or he's a crazy drunk who wants to have fun. Can't be both. Not in a career where what made him special was athletic prowess. Drinking, like he appears to be, and being a great athlete don't go together.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I think it hurts you, but they go together. There's a lot of people that are professional athletes who like to spend their money drinking and partying.
We love Gronk, but he's on a bad path right now. And as for Mankin saying it's okay, he's now the most overrated, overpaid, and stupid guard in the football. And he's supposed to be a captain. He's a joke. If I remember right, he held out and bitched about management. We were 7-1 without him, and we still paid a guy who goes missing in big games. Trade him in his waste of money contract and use it on a player who affects the big games. We don't need captains like him or contracts like his. Wow.
Hmm.
That's I've never heard anyone come out against Mankins like that. That's the first starting to get a little bit of a
I actually have. I've heard.
Well, in your circles, they
no,
they
no,
hate
no,
everybody.
No, not that.
Northeastern hockey.
No, that circle's totally opposite, Fred. They would kick you out for being negative, that circle.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. But
wow, I don't understand anything about what who he hangs out with.
No, that, well, the lawyer circle, they're extremely over the top positive about everything Boston.
Is that right?
Yeah, oh. Yeah. I'm telling you, you would have a hard time fitting in.
Okay,
as homerish as you are, but Mankins has, especially the big game thing. I've heard that a lot. Like he was at his worst in the biggest games, the Super Bowls. You know, he's sort of given blame for. Look, I think he's one of the best. I still, as much as I love and respect what Logan Mankins does, I would not have given that contract to him. I think he's a guard, and I always fall back on Bill's line that he told me. You know, you can always find a guard. That's why you don't draft guards in the top 15, top, you know, in the first round, he actually said.
And then he went out and
at the time
drafted a guard.
It was almost the second.
It was,
it wasn't.
And he was also a tackle when they drafted him. They moved him to guard.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point.
And he came from Fresno State,
right?
You know, so I don't know.
What is that?
You slotted in anyway.
No, Pat Hill.
Pat Hill.
He came connection. From your system essentially on the offensive line, so he was the perfect fit.
But yeah. I do think that there's probably, you know, an argument to be made that, you know, I mean, like, is he? Someone wrote an SPFW just today. Is he $10 million better than Donald Thomas?
Yeah.
And I don't. I mean, listen, I'm not Dante, so I don't know. You know how he would grade out on every play.
Paul and I were talking about yesterday, and this is—it's a problem in a lot of sports. We compared it to the NBA, and we've talked about this before, where the NBA went to max contracts for guys that earned it. You know, Michael Jordan's a max contract. LeBron James should be a max contract, but then all these other guys started getting max contracts, and it's like, well, I'm the second best guard, even though I'm, you know, light years behind Jordan or whoever number one is. I think the Patriots in the NFL have fallen victim to that. You know, Jerod Mayo is the third best linebacker in football. So if Patrick Willis makes X, then he should make 90% of X. Well, no, because the drop off is actually 50%. Even though he's the second best, like Darrell Revis, who's the second best corner? Who cares? They're nowhere near Darrell Revis. So Revis should make a lot more than anybody else. But a guy like Jason McCourty, who the Titans think is the 12th best corner in football, gets $40 million because on the hierarchy, right. And that's flawed. If there's a huge jump,
sure.
Then the salary
happening.
Should
However,
reflect the
and
jump.
And that's really happening but, right now but, in sports.
But yes.
But I think
it's ridiculous.
But I think teams, when they look at offensive line, they look at it as a unit. And when you start chipping it away, say, you know, as singular, Paul's absolutely right. Is there that much of a difference between Donald Thomas, $10 million? You know, obviously there's a difference. But when you start chipping away and all of a sudden you got five Donald Thomases and no Logan Mankins, now as a unit, your offensive line isn't very good. You know, so you have to have.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, the line that they built that they won titles with was generally five Donald Thomases, fifth round picks and.
Well, Matt Light was pretty good. I mean, you know.
So were the guys that are playing now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you get them. Is what I'm saying.
It's what they get. It's not how you got here.
Matt Light didn't
make it. What you get here.
Matt Light didn't get $48 million. He was a second round pick, but he didn't get that kind of contract.
No.
He wasn't the highest paid tackle in football.
That's true.
And it gets back to impact.
But
playmakers.
But I'm just saying, you know, maybe they felt they were not forced to pay Logan Mankins, but the downside of not having him wasn't as bad as the downside of paying him all that money, because you need to keep that continuity and that consistency and a certain level of play that you can depend on game to game.
Yeah, I don't buy
as
it.
A unit.
Dante Scarnecchia brings me my continuity.
And
well,
listen,
the system brings me my continuity.
Yeah, but there's only so, even Don, there's only so much you can do if the guys are all Donald Thomases.
Well, why do you say that? Like, Donald Thomas couldn't play.
He can play, but I'm
so if he can play, then he can do it with five Donald Thomases. If he can't play,
no,
then he can't.
Or Joe Andruzzi's, or Tom Ashworth, or Russ Hochstein's, or Billy Yates, or
they had a line of those guys. Dan Copeland filled in.
We're told
seamlessly.
We're told a fifth round pick for a first round pick.
We're
told you have to look at the offensive line as a unit. And Donald Thomas is good when he's surrounded by other guys that may be better. But if they're all
Well, then Logan Mankins isn't good enough, because as a unit, they've gotten their ass kicked by fronts in recent years.
That's a separate argument. You might be right
there. No, but your argument is flawed, Fred, because if you have enough guys, if you have guys that can play, they can play. It doesn't matter. I mean, if either Donald Thomas can play at an NFL level or he can't. He's not able to get by because he's surrounded by this great talent. I mean, he was surrounded by Ryan Wendell and Dan Conley, and he played. Those were the three interior guys. So what's the? I mean, I don't understand. He can play. Well, is he $10 million worse than Logan Mankins? Was what the ASPFW guy asked, and I'm not sure that I have a good answer for that. I am not criticizing the Patriots for giving them the money,
but
because I think sometimes you go above and beyond to retain guys that you feel that are important and that are worth it, and I think that's more money than I would have given Logan Mankins, as much as I love him. But I understand where the Patriots were coming from. They had sort of said, you know, we're going to put our foot down. We're going to stop letting every single guy go. And they made a choice. Now, I don't agree with every choice, but it was Mankins. It was Wilfork. It was Mayo. And they started re-upping some of these guys instead of getting in the situation where it was always the Asante Samuel that was leaving.
Right.
And I don't,
Adam Vinatieri,
I'm not going to kill them for that. I think they went too far one way. And maybe they swung it back too far the other way.
I just think they picked the wrong guys, necessarily.
That's
not because of who the guys are, because I think the guys are perfect. They're everything you ask for in a player. But all three of them, for $150 million, again, how much worse would you be without them? How much better could you be investing that $150 million elsewhere? My theme for this offseason, I'm sorry, is going to be a broken record. The playmakers versus the value of the guys that are your highest paid players. You know, a lot of the websites, you know, Field Yates did, you know, the rundown of the salary cap charges coming up. And it's Brady, it's Wilfork, it's Mankins, it's Mayo. Aside from Brady, are the others playmakers? And you get into, like, Steven Gostkowski is in, like, your top 10 highest cap number.
I think he's in the top five.
You know, Aaron Hernandez, again, a guy I've been very critical of for the last year for what he's done. Your highest cap numbers aren't necessarily your big play contributors, or haven't been at times. And I don't know how you fix that. Was it a mistake? Is it circumstantial? But I think it bears analysis.
But the other part of this that Andy and I were talking about that he brought up, I think is very interesting in all sports. And it's, you know, the Indyism, he talked about the max contract guys. You know, just because you have a max contract doesn't make you a max contract guy.
Right.
And look at the cornerback slide. Was it Brandon Carr?
$50 million.
He's not Darrell Revis.
Right.
He's not anywhere near that level.
And it screws you because it works both ways. Those guys become overpaid because you compared them to Darrell Revis, and then Darrell Revis says, well, if that guy's making 50, then I'm worth 100.
Right. And now
you're screwed on both ends of the spectrum.
But now you have an Aqib Talib who, you know, to bring it to the Patriots and to the current level. He's probably comparable to Brandon Carr.
Oh, he's a $50 million corner.
So he's a $50 million corner now.
No doubt. If I'm his agent, $50 million.
You know, and Jason McCourty is probably not at that level, but what he got is going to make a guy like Sean Smith from Miami, who I think is sort of an intriguing guy with his size, but he's been, you know, terribly inconsistent, I think. I think someone's going to give him way more than he's worth because that's what the market is. And I think that, you know, today we have all these guys that they research all these numbers and they crunch all the numbers and they slot you in and say, well, we have him based on our metrics that he's number four. So like Andy said, if number three is making X, then number four is worth, you know, X minus 10%. Well, there might be an enormous gulf between those two guys.
And then the team starts picking at, well, you do this, and then now there's
bad
blood.
Exactly. And it
screws
everyone. And that's when it spirals out of control.
Because now the player, you know, Logan Mankins, aside from the injuries, is the same player. But when he was on a first-round contract, as opposed to a $50 million deal,
he was phenomenal.
The expectation is different. Aqib Talib, when he comes here as a fourth-round guy, okay, there's a certain expectation. Everybody was pumped. He played great. The secondary's better with him. If he plays the exact same way next year at $50 million, right, boy, will you hear people bitching.
Let me give you an example, and it's not one that's going to come out. It's more hypothetical because he's under contract. But Rob Ninkovich had a fantastic season at outside linebacker / defensive end. He did a lot of different things. I'll bet you if you plugged in all of his numbers and put him alongside guys like Jared Allen and DeMarcus Ware and some of these other guys around the league, I'll bet you they're going to stack up pretty close.
Oh, of course.
Pretty favorably. Is he worth anywhere near the amount of money that DeMarcus Ware makes?
No.
But if you're Rob Ninkovich's agent...
Oh, I would. I'd add up my sacks, my forced fumbles, my fumble recoveries, but blah, 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 blah.
You know, but, you know, fortunately, this is one that really, you know, we talked about maybe they gave too much to Will. They re-upped Ninkovich at a great time and got him at an incredibly affordable rate, and now he's vastly... performing for them, outperforming that contract and doing that's one of the Patriots' best contracts right now. I think it's something like $1.8 million.
Yeah.
He had a great year for that. So that's just how it can work both ways. But if he were a free agent right now, you'd have a hard time re-signing him coming off that season.
If they're talking about Paul Kruger being a $9 or $10 million player, well, then Rob Ninkovich is an $8, $9, $10 million player.
Do you know what I'm
But he's not an $8, $9, or $10 million player.
Right.
So that's...
Thank God for the salary cap.
which allows everybody to be overpaid. You're right, it's working so well.
Alex in Maryland.
Unfortunately, it's not a hard cap, so everybody gets what they want.
Alex in Maryland, with all the talk about trading...
Alex in Maryland, I'm going to ignore you.
About trading for Percy Harvin, how has there been no talk about possibly making a trade for Victor Cruz? He's certainly no defensive back and has no injury. And has no injury history like Harvin. He is younger than Welker, much faster. I know Cruz is a restricted free agent, but do you see any chance the Patriots make a play for him? I would trade a first rounder for him.
Why would the Giants trade him?
Yeah, I don't think the Giants are going to get rid of him, right?
I don't.
Yeah. Or let him go.
No. Generally, we talk about trading for guys that are available. Because if they're not available, then, Paul, they're not available.
They're not available.
Like, that's the way trades work.
Yeah, restricted guys very rarely leave those teams. And, and especially a guy like him, who's not just any old restricted free agent. He's one of their best players.
He's not Wes Welker. When we traded for Wes Welker as a restricted free agent, Wes Welker was not yet Wes Welker.
Steve in California, he has in parentheses David in case Pepe is doing it. He has... couple things he'd do. One, he says tag Vollmer, tag Welker, let Talib walk.
How many tags we got?
You can only tag one guy.
I felt the main reason why the secondary really improved. Well, you can do a transition tag, right? Do they still have transition?
I believe they
do.
But
they do.
Well, nobody uses them.
Yes, they do. They do. It's very rarely used anyway.
Yeah. I felt the main reason why the secondary really improved was because McCourty's moved to safety, not necessarily Talib himself. Hopefully McCourty can stay there next year. I felt he played pretty well. Mm-hmm. Two, my fiance wants to know if Danny Woodhead will be back. He's her favorite player on the Pats, and I would like to buy her a Woodhead jersey, but not, of course, if he won't be back. Who knows?
Give her your own Woodhead.
He'll be in camp.
See if she can get splinters.
He'll be in camp. We'll see.
He's a free agent.
Oh, is he?
So
he might be in camp.
He might be in a camp as a visitor, but
he might be in a camp.
He'll be in a camp. Two.
I would guess that they will re-sign him. I can't imagine he's a hot commodity on the open market.
Three, can you guys shed some light on Alfonso Dennard's legal situation?
Nope.
I read if he gets convicted, he could go to prison for up to 5 years.
Yeah, but that's like if you got pulled over driving in the snow, you could go to jail for a year. Did anybody go to jail for a year? No.
I know football players are not above the law, but it would really be a shame if he got convicted.
Yes.
I've got a good feelings about him after watching him play a rookie. Well, I guess the cops testified. There was two cops.
He said, he hit me. And the other guy said, he hit him.
Yeah. Dennard said that he didn't, you know, I guess.
I believe him.
They have the transcript from, you know.
Yeah, the tape seems to contradict what Dennard said.
They said that, you know, Dennard said
tape?
That the guy
Video?
Came up me on so fast that, you know, I didn't hit him. I pushed him, and it was self-defense.
He said, I think his quote was, he was talking to one of the cop that either interviewed him or somebody else and said, I didn't mean to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
I only pushed you.
I think he hit him.
Well,
but I think he thought
that
it wasn't
means you
a
punched
cop.
Him in the face.
Yeah.
He said,
"No,
no."
You went to hit him in the chest, and it kind of ricocheted.
He said,
off.
"I didn't hurt you."
No. But saying I didn't mean to punch you in the face means you punched somebody in the face.
I agree with Eric, and I even think the first day of the trial, I'm pretty sure the attorney was sort of on record saying that there was contact that he thought was part of the brawl. Someone came from behind him that he thought he was being attacked, and he said, this is all a misunderstanding. The only thing he possibly is guilty of is resisting arrest.
Right.
So I don't really think there's much gray area in whether or not he hit the guy.
No. And I don't really think he's claiming there is. He's probably just, you know,
it's technicality. It's intent. Right. Yeah.
Mm. I'm sure he's going to get community service and probation.
Maybe probation.
Whatever. I would be stunned if he's not here for the first day of training camp because of some legal issue.
I would, too.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
But just because he's an athlete.
Dustin is in Columbia, South Carolina. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I had two questions, both about deep threat. Now, I do know that Randy Moss just turned 36 years old, but how much percent of a chance?
Zero.
No, not at all.
Nope.
Not even a what?
He's not even a deep threat anymore.
The window and the door closed. The window on the door closed.
And then they closed the door too.
That's right.
One of those old doors with the little thing you could check out.
He can probably still run a.
And they put the wet towel on the bottom.
He's not a deep threat anymore. The only team he can beat deep is the Patriots. And if you put him on your team, he can't beat anybody deep.
He didn't do anything really with San Francisco this year.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, I didn't think they used him as much as they should, but all right. Yeah, the next one is, do you think the Patriots will end up getting Mike Wallace?
No.
Because he's probably just the next best thing. Like,
yeah, I'd love for them to get Mike Wallace. I'd say it's less than
they won't. Though.
Assuming he
less
gets,
than 50%.
Would any of you guys 25%. Pay what he's asking?
No.
Well, not if he asked for $100 million. No.
No.
What would you pay?
I'd give him the 9 to 10 million over
Vincent Jackson
4 or 5 years.
I'd be scared.
And would you think the Patriots would be willing to do that?
If they let Welker go and they let Lloyd go, yeah, I think there's a chance.
So I'd be scared because I think he's a DB. I think he's another bad guy, but it seems like a lot of these receivers are bad guys. So if I'm going to wait till the Calvin Johnson good guy comes around, I won't have it.
I don't think the Patriots worry about that anymore.
Well, no, but what they worry about is he's a guy who has a limited route running ability. He does like one thing, and I can't see Brady about that. Oh, I am.
I've seen him run slants over the middle. I've seen him run
in cuts. Maybe some deep in cuts when he runs guys off. I don't think he's very refined.
Slants and in cuts. And that's Brady what this game's would, coming down to.
Now you have to worry. I invested $50 million, but Brady's going to take the time to work with him or give him the leeway or the rope.
Yeah, if I had another quarterback, I'd be willing to do it.
Think of how many of his plays are Roethlisberger scrambling whatever and then getting rid of it. Brady needs to get it within 2.3, or God forbid, he'll poop himself in the backfield.
I'm really disappointed.
What?
That was just for you. You totally stayed with your point. You went on. I said, if we had another quarterback, I'd be interested.
No, but I really think, his production was down last year when they went to the offense under what's-his-name, the DB coach. And it just, I don't think he's
inconsistent. He is. And I do agree
with exciting.
I agree with Andy that he is not overly refined as a receiver. He can run. There's no doubt about that. He'd give you a deep threat. But if you got rid of Welker and Lloyd, and now he's the focal point with Gronkowski in it, I don't think that
with
works.
Gronk and Dropsy's Hernandez?
You know, that you need that. You need a possession guy. You need a dependable guy.
Right.
I mean, like what you just described him, like he's raw but exciting or whatever.
He would give
does
you.
Does that sound like a Patriot?
He
raw
would give
but
you
exciting?
Big plays.
No.
Let me ask you this. We had
you want refined, reliable.
Another
good.
SPFW I'm going to credit today. And I don't really like this player a tremendous amount, but I do think he has an individual skill, and it wouldn't cost you much, is Ted Ginn. Would you be interested in him for low money?
I mean, for nothing.
I mean, you're interested in Randy Moss, and you're throwing up at Ted Ginn. I mean, Randy Moss hasn't made a play in 4 years.
Oh, I take Ted Ginn over Randy Moss.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're interested.
Is that my only choice?
No, yeah, but what I'm saying is keeping everything that you have and adding. Ted Ginn's not going to cost you anything.
No, and he's a returner.
Yeah.
Mm. What about Reggie Bush?
He's going to cost you something, he's a running back, not a receiver.
Mm. No, but he's a running back slash receiver.
No, he's not.
He's a good receiver for a running back.
Yes, exactly.
That doesn't make him a deep threat
he's
for you on the
go,
outside.
No, he's not going to go out and
And
catch,
are we just getting rid of Woodhead and Vereen, and how are you building
Demps?
This roster?
What about Jeff Demps?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we got superstar Demps coming in.
Wait, do you guys know what role he's going to do? You think he's going to get any handoffs or no? More of a special teams guy.
I don't know.
I think if he makes the team as a kick returner, I think he will be used on offense. I think he will. I mean, he was better on offense in that little teeny window we saw than he was as a returner.
Yep.
If you remember, he had a couple plays on
offense. A
couple
of good runs, yeah.
Yep.
So, but, I mean, their whole philosophy, if you have a weapon. Yes, I know he's fast. He was Florida, too. He's a Gator, and he's great. He won a fraudulent silver medal at the Olympics and all that. I know all that.
Wow.
But I just think that if you had a
shoot
guy.
His model girlfriend.
If you had everybody. And he has a leg to stand on. If you had.
Two.
If you had, you know, everything that you have. If you have Welker and you have the two tight ends and, you know, now Lloyd's, you know, kind of slotted in as that fourth or fifth guy.
We still going to throw him 150 passes?
You know, maybe you throw Ted Ginn out there every once in a while, and he does have the ability to run by you, so maybe you command some respect. And maybe he makes, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 big catches for you during the course of a whole season, and he can give you the return ability. He's not costing you anything. Mike Wallace is an investment. Mike Wallace changes.
No, I'm not saying they're comparable in any way.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying they're comparable as players. Mike Wallace blows Ted Ginn out of the water.
No,
but what I'm saying is you're basically changing your philosophy by going to get Dwayne Bowe or Mike Wallace
I know, but
or someone like
I don't
that.
Love
it's costing
Ted
you a lot of money.
I'd rather just draft a rookie that I want to be that.
Oh,
thing,
okay.
Ted Ginn.
I mean, if there's a guy out
a guy
there
that
you like, I know this
is
not
is
a great.
Raw,
I know this
blah,
is not
blah.
A great receiver class with the little I've read about it. But they do say there's a sweet spot, you know, sort of later on, second, third round, which gets right in line with the way the Patriots want to do it. Cause
that's where we always blow our picks.
Right. They haven't really used a lot of, first round. They haven't used any first round picks on wide receivers. So I don't know.
But like Hartline, I think is better than Ted Ginn. If they wanted to go down the Hartline.
No
route.
Question. He's
I
a better
actually
receiver
wouldn't mind
than
either
Ted
Dolphins
Ginn.
Receiver, Bess or Hartline. I wouldn't mind if you get rid of Lloyd and bring in Hartline, or if Welker doesn't come back, bring in Bess. I'm kind of intrigued by both of those guys.
Hartline could definitely help you outside.
Sure.
Hartline, he's not that speedy of a guy either. Like, because I'm tired of Wes Welker. I can't wait till we get rid of Wes, because I think there's so many people that can do what he
no.
does.
No.
Really?
No.
Really? Name two. Name two. Name two.
I really don't.
Name two.
Austin,
just two.
I really don't think so.
Name two.
I know. Well, I know. Like next year, we're probably going to stick Julian Edelman into that role,
and he's never done what he's done,
and he can't stay healthy for 16 games.
No, that's part of doing what he's doing.
Danny Amendola
is catching most of the passes that are thrown your way, getting big third downs, getting up from hits, and playing every week. Give me two people who have ever done that, and I'll give you a week to get back to me.
I mean, it's just the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl put a bad taste in my mouth.
Right. So get rid of Brady like Paul, because it was a terrible throw in the Super Bowl.
Yes, it was.
No,
yes, it was, Fred.
If you get two hands on
it, was.
It wasn't.
That wasn't a bad throw.
It wasn't. It wasn't a terrible throw.
It was
right
a terrible throw. The one
terrible.
In the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
He had to do a 180 for it to
one
get
in the Super
to his
Bowl
hands.
Was a terrible
it wasn't
throw.
A terrible,
terrible
throw.
He had to do a 180 for it to hit his hands, Fred.
Terrible.
No, he did.
Yes, he
over
did.
His head and on the wrong side. Other than that, it was perfect.
It could have been. It wasn't perfect, but it wasn't a terrible
You're
throw.
Right. Jamarcus Russell would have been happy with that throw.
It wasn't a terrible throw.
If you could pay $10 million, you should make that.
And if you get paid $22, you shouldn't make that throw.
Any throw where your receiver has to do a 180 is a terrible throw.
I thought Brady was good. I thought he put the ball in the receiver's position so they could make plays afterwards.
I actually just watched it recently, and I'm like, it wasn't that bad a throw.
It was a terrible
throw.
It
really wasn't.
I'm the one that hates the quarterback.
Well, you know what, I can lash out even with guys that I kind of like.
Yeah, he just had an opportunity
No. I think
no
that was
soul.
A terrible throw.
All right.
No. There's nothing fraudulent.
No.
Terrible throw.
It wasn't a terrible
And if the guy wants to bring up money, which, by the way, he didn't even make $10 million a year at that point. He was still making, like, pittance of, like, $4 million a year at that Super
Not
Bowl.
Even.
Because he hadn't even gotten the franchise tag yet. If we're going to bring up money and who should do a good job, then the $20 million quarterback should have made a better throw.
It wasn't a terrible throw.
It was a terrible throw.
Rod is in Atlanta. Hey, Rod.
Hey, guys.
He's in denial.
Hot Rod. I think LeBron James is playing as well as any other basketball player has ever played right now.
Without question, Rod. Good point.
As
good
well,
point
yep.
by you.
Yep.
Shut up.
But did you guys hear what Rodney Harrison talked about in the Super Bowl about concussions?
Yeah, about his being scared when he, you know, in the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for him. I really do. But wasn't he known for, like, a headhunter?
Oh, yeah.
And he tested positive for steroids. And
no, not true.
No, he
never tested positive for steroids.
He was suspended for receiving them in the mail, HGH, and then admitted that he took them.
Right.
But he never
HGH.
Was.
He never took
HGH.
He said it was for the rehab
right.
of a knee.
And
it
he
was
never
HGH.
Was test. He never tested positive for anything. Now, we can assume that if he said he's taken them, he would have if they tested for HGH, but they don't.
Right. And I'm
dead.
Rod, you still there?
Rod nope. get hit by a bus.
Guess not.
Rod just dropped. Okay.
Unfortunate.
Sound a little too much like Alvin.
This you is know, a weird Thursday with a lot of phone calls.
You know what I'm curious for? I'm
dinner.
I'm curious to see Welker's replacement. Because let's face it, whether it's this year or next year, it's going to happen.
But what if it doesn't happen with Brady?
Well, that's...
Then it's not really
that's
the replacement.
Kind of, it's, yeah. not, it's not as interesting.
Because if Welker stayed with Mallett, there's going to be a big drop-off. Or if Brady leaves and the other guy's good, there's still going to be a drop-off. Like,
yeah. Are you curious at all?
It's not apples to apples.
Yeah.
Like, you brought up Devon Best about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Would you be curious at all to see if he could catch 100 passes?
Yes.
I think that would be really interesting to watch.
But I still think it's like
the dynamic of somebody else.
You have to give Welker the respect for the one I point to more than anyone else was in England. He took a big hit, had to go to the sideline and get looked at by the trainers, and that was first down. By third down, they ran him back out there. It was like third and eight, and they throw it right to Welker, and he takes another. It's like, you can't quantify that.
People don't understand because we see it every week. That what he does,
and then these other guys
come to expect.
Oh, Edelman can do it right for four games a year, and it'll take twice as many throws. It'll be Brandon Lloyd like.
Edelman's not the guy that I would do.
Danny Amendola. I think Amendola is physically more talented than Wes Welker,
but he gets hurt.
But it doesn't matter.
I do think there are other guys in the league that have the ability to do it. I just would be curious to see it.
I just don't think there are too many. I think his quickness is pretty impressive. I think his ability to know the sweet spots to avoid the linebacker. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he is.
I agree. I'm glad you've come around.
You once said,
I think he gets too much.
I don't know. What do you have? Four touchdowns? Irrelevant.
No.
Much like you said Gronk was irrelevant, you said that Welker was irrelevant.
That is what you said.
And taking it completely out of context of the discussion.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the context of the discussion was. We were preparing to play a playoff game without him, and you said it didn't matter.
And I said it mattered, and they got blown off the field. And then I said the same thing about Gronk, and you said it didn't matter, and they got blown off the field.
And I've also said that...
Andy's always right.
And I've also said that if you got rid of Welker, the Patriots' offense would not be able to replace him, but they'd be able to get that production in other ways.
Right.
That's what we're talking
about. And everybody
about.
Agrees with that because of Tom Brady.
But you take it out of context, and I don't like Wes Welker. But
you said he was irrelevant at the time.
No,
you said
irrelevant.
Quote, what did he
have? What's he
have?
Four touchdowns?
Irrelevant.
Yeah.
And you don't think they could have made those four touchdowns up somewhere else?
I do.
Okay.
But he wasn't irrelevant to the offense heading into a playoff game when they got blown off the field.
You agree with me?
No.
Yeah.
You don't think? Yeah. Wait a minute.
No.
Wait a minute.
Yes. No.
You don't think if they replaced Tom Brady at quarterback?
Oh my God! I can't believe it. It's the end of the show.
You don't think if they replaced Tom Brady at quarterback, they would replace some of the production?
Okay. Now we're talking about Tom Brady.
Anyone you replaced, you're going to replace some of the production.
Yeah. You're not going to get the same production
out of the guy who replaces Wes Welker, and you're not going to get the same production out of the guy that replaces Tom Brady.
That's not what I said.
See, but the question is with the offense.
That's not what I said, Andy. I said you'd get the production in other places.
Well, that's the question. Would they get as much?
Plural.
Maybe.
Plural. Not one person.
But would they?
Maybe.
But the question is, would they get as much?
Would you set the record for first downs in NFL history?
Well, I don't care about that, but would they be as productive?
But when you have a guy like Wes Welker.
That's part of production. Staying on the field, converting third downs, moving the ball is part of production.
But Andy, my point is,
when you have a guy like Wes Welker, you can depend on one guy to do it.
Right.
That's the difference. You can't replace that.
Because he's good.
But you could have 50 less.
Yeah, he's good, Andy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Well, you finally come to the realization.
Oh, yeah. I was the guy who, when they signed him, was sticking up for me.
Yeah, I don't know why you're yelling at Andy. Yeah, he was never against you. I was the one. And I've always thought Wes Welker
was good.
All right. You're
right. You loved him more first because he signed his name to a Patriots contract.
I always thought Wes was good. You're an idiot.
He did. I was the one that didn't like him.
Yeah.
And I still think that what you said
I was the one that always thought he was good.
Except when he got hurt and then you kicked him to the curb.
No,
what you just said is
this
true,
is what
I
you
think.
Do.
You kicked him to the...
No, that's not what I said. I said this offense can get the production in other places.
No,
plural.
You said...
Plural.
The quote is, as I said it. What's he have? Four touchdowns?
Yeah. Plural.
In a dismissive phrase.
They can make those four touchdowns up in other places.
And they got blown off the field.
And you agree with
they
me,
got blown...
idiot?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Not
you
if
just you, said you did.
If you prepare for it.
I agree with you.
If you prepare for it.
I don't think he does.
I don't.
I don't think
if you lose Welker week to week,
he agrees with me.
No, I don't. I agree with you on the long term. If you retune your offense and say, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. But this was a one game example where he got hurt, could no longer help you, and you kicked him to the curb.
Okay. I kicked Wes Welker to the curb. Our listeners will be the judge of that. That's it for this edition.
I'll be late on
Tuesday. PFW in progress.
I'm going to miss this.
Finish on a high note. We'll be back. See you next Tuesday.
All right.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.